following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mike Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Eric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
Hey, what's poppin'? We're in the DealsInTheD.com studios for the Has-Been Drew and Mike Show with Trudy right across from me.
Yeah. Mark, retired. Semi-retired.
Yeah, Trudy's a has-been too, I guess.
Yeah.
Brandon.
Happy to be one.
Hello.
And Joey. Yeah, it's not the worst has-been position, if this is truly a has-been position. We'll get into that. There's a new string on Radio Buzzboard.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Due to yesterday's rant.
Great.
Oh, boy.
So we have another 25 minutes to waste. Somebody bitched about the 25 minutes we spent on it. They hadn't listened to it, of course, and said, oh, yeah, sounds like all the MTV reality shows they'd spend it. That's why I can't listen.
What?
I want to know. I want to follow their 25-minute units through the day. I want to see what these people do with 25 minutes. Since they're so fussy about the 25 minutes spent on Buzzboard, how do they know?
Is that the Buzzboard to Drew equivalent of I don't come to your job and tell you how to do it?
Kind of. Yeah, I don't knock penises out of your mouth when you're doing tricks, so...
That's my favorite one.
Someone sent me a text that said, why does Drew even read Buzzboard? It's toxic.
I know, it's terrible.
That's from a guy, too. That's his voice. That's the voice he used when he texted.
Remind me not to go back to Buzzboard. But I've already been there today, so it's too late.
I got to say, as far as you go, there's a lot more positive things than most topics on that Buzzboard.
We should read some of the other crappy
topics. Yeah, if you want to feel good.
Yeah, it helps. It helps. Why am I reading Facebook now? Someone says I have something hanging from my...
I didn't see anything.
Oh, it's dog hair.
Gross.
Oh. Wow, people...
Jennifer loves all of my 25 minutes.
Aw.
Thank you, Jennifer. Aww.
Hey, why didn't you go to Bark in the Park yesterday with the dogs?
Yeah, famous dogs.
Should have taken Mags and Layla.
I don't know, they're cutting staff there. They've lost seven in a row.
Yeah, but it's a chance for the dogs to go to see the Tigers play. Dogs love watching baseball.
It's a long walk from the parking lot to the seat for Mags.
Aw.
Carry him.
Yeah, Mark asked me before the show. It kind of hurt my feelings.
Oh.
Let's not go here.
I totally forgot.
Honestly,
totally forgot.
I forgot.
Oh,
that
Mark, you asshole.
Jerk.
I admitted that it was a really shitty thing that I did, and I felt terrible about it. So thank you for bringing it up, Brandon.
That's a mighty short memory, I gotta say.
Oh yeah, no, you know it's very short. You know my memory is terribly short.
You work too hard.
I just forgot. I feel bad. Sorry.
I'm not upset.
Rest
about
in
it.
Peace, Bill.
Thank
I'm
you.
Glad you brought it up, Brandon. Facebook.
Oh, thanks.
That picture from the park, though, with the dog. He looked like he was having a really good time. So.
Oh yeah, the dogs are happy anyway.
Yeah.
Mags can't fit through the metal to get out of here.
Mean.
Jeez.
It's so mean.
We may have to cut Facebook off early today.
No, because we have Tim Meadows.
It might be extra long, actually. With Tim Meadows from SNL coming up from Highland Park, and now he actually has a place locally in Detroit, it sounds like, and he's going to a lot of Tiger games and having fun.
And Eastern Market. I bet he was there for Flower Day.
How cool is that?
Why would he be
Tim Meadows around?
Did you go to Flower Day?
Why would he be there for Flower Day?
Because it's a big thing. It's
a happening.
Associate
Tim Meadows with flowers?
I don't know. Some kind of flower.
Let's find out just how ill-advised or not ill-advised that comment was by asking Tim.
He probably did go.
Who knows? Did he say he went to Eastern Market in that story?
They said people attended.
We had an email
ran
into him at Eastern Market.
Ah.
They didn't say Flower Day.
You know...
That's the biggest goddamn day there. Sorry, why am I so...
I don't know.
I don't know what's wrong with me today.
We had most Detroiters, if you think of Jeff Daniels, Bob Seger, Ted Nugent, they're so associated with Detroit. Why don't we think of Tim Meadows as Detroit that much? Because I really don't. I knew he was from here.
I really don't know either because...
He went to Wayne State.
Yeah.
Went to Pershing. Very much of Detroit. He's back here.
Yeah.
So.
Really huge.
Who's the other comedian? David Alan Greer.
Oh,
yeah,
Dad?
I know.
Yeah.
But when you talk to
black.
Him, When you talk to David Alan Greer, he does talk a lot about Detroit.
Yeah, Terry Crews, who's huge now and has a million jobs on a million shows.
He got goosed by a man.
That's right.
And that, and survived.
That's really all I know him from. That's what I know him best from.
He's so irresistible that even men grab him.
Yes. Isn't he from the west side of the
he's
state?
He's from Flint.
Oh, he's from Flint.
He grew up in Flint, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, now we're stretching the boundaries a little. So.
Okay, the extra long Facebook maybe is brought to you by Mesa Tacos and Tequilas. On Main Street between 3rd and 4th and Royal Oak with that big old outdoor patio, which there hasn't been a decent day for in a while, but there should be soon, for crying out loud. 150 tequilas.
Old Mother Nature.
35-foot screen for all your crappy Tiger games and NBA Finals. By the way, what a game last night. As Toronto, led by Drake...
Coach Drake.
Is Drake on the roster now?
I can't believe it.
I see him running up and down the court like he's a coach.
Well, they need to activate him because otherwise, why is he allowed? I mean, he actually rubbed the coach's shoulders during the game.
If it was any other fan, he so would have been kicked out. They would have blown him out.
Weird. Yeah.
No, I know. It's absolutely crazy. But
do you really want him there? Doesn't he have the Drake curse? Every time he shows up at a game or a championship with whoever he's supporting loses. It's like proven.
Although he flipped it last round because didn't he take a picture wearing the other team's jersey?
Yes.
So he flipped the curse, Brandon. Huh.
You know, I think it's good to, when you see guys like Drake having so much fun at a ball game, that's great. I mean, we had Florine Mark, of course, in the... good old Piston days.
We had Seeger.
Yeah.
they used to have celebrities go out and hold up the noise signs, and it was always wave the flags. It was always Florine Mark.
Oh, really? I met her son one time when I was doing an appearance. Sorry.
That's a loose connection.
Cool,
that's a loose connection.
I know, but never ever would have come up.
The show is now turned on, Trudy. We've joined her house.
No, I was just going to say he's really a sweet guy. He was really cool.
Was he proud of his mother?
He's very proud of her. I mean, you have to. She's quite the entrepreneur. She's still on TV.
Weight Watchers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's just funny. I thought, here you got Drake rubbing the coach's shoulders, and the best we come up with is Florine Mark waving the Pistons flag. Although Kid Rock used to go to a lot of games.
Yeah, Eminem.
Oh, Eminem went.
Yeah, Eminem
went. Seeger.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Oh, Bob Seeger.
Tim Meadows.
Bob was accused of being too into the game. Yeah. By some people who thought, because it was a kind of a meaningless game, it's like, was Seeger have money in this game or what? He was way too into it.
Hey, wasn't that the uncle something moment that you had with Bob Seeger?
Yeah, Bob moment with Bruce Hornsby.
Oh, that's right.
He did the anthem, and he was sitting two empty seats away from me. It was a Nets playoff game. I think it was game 7, maybe? It was when we had Chauncey, and we came back. It was one of our first good playoff runs. Mm-hmm. And I decided, I think I'll move over here and say hi to Bruce. So I start talking to him, and I'm thinking, this conversation's going, Bruce and I, we're friends. I think we'll be exchanging numbers after this. And then he said to his two kids sitting next to him, hey, doesn't that guy look like Uncle Bob? And it went on this Uncle Bob rant, which I was terribly left out. I was almost going to complain. And I felt that it was time to leave Bruce Hornsby alone. I thanked him and moved back, but I really felt that Uncle Bob was a signal to the kids. Yeah. That we need to lose this guy.
I forgot.
Get out of here.
I want to use the Uncle Bob move on somebody. So it's just going to go somewhere where I can use it.
That would be cool if it became so standard that even the person annoying you got it. That, anytime Uncle Bob comes up. Mesa, 10% off on all meals. Mention the Drew and Mike show. And we're just minutes away from Tim Meadows. And then we have David Faraday, who's at the Fox Theater.
I didn't know who the hell he was.
I was a little unsure, too. I don't watch the Golf Channel, but he goes beyond the Golf Channel. I mean, he's at the Fox Theater.
Interesting guy.
What's he going to talk about?
Everything and anything. He's actually pretty funny. He's kind of, he was an addict, like major alcoholic for years. He's got some pretty rock star type stories.
Really?
Yeah, like the time he had to play in Sweden, and he woke up in Denmark. He doesn't remember how he got there, and he had to figure out a way to get back.
He's a pretty rockin' golfer.
He is. He's also interviewed he's interviewed Trump, Obama, Bush, Clinton. I mean, he's interviewed lots of dignitaries.
Kind of good looking, too.
Oh,
chicks dig him. Chicks totally dig him. I was reading comments, and I was amazed how many chicks were into him.
He would be what you would call a silver fox, I'm thinking.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me.
You could be right. Mike says he pushes his accent on Facebook Live. And drug addict, ATTIC, of course. Patty P agrees. Addict, ATTIC, and a thumbs up. Facebook Live, we're still rocking. We're going to stay through Tim Meadows. So don't dump out on us early because it's extra long. For those of you whiners who say we don't go long enough, boy, there's a lot of whiners out there. Go on that buzz board. Wow. Everybody's turned on the show. It's tough. Times are tough.
Now we can be a comeback.
Stop whining.
It's time to pile on someone else. That's the only thing I know to do when I'm getting piled on, is to pile on someone else. And in this case, it would be the school district that has had to destroy their yearbook and reprint 1,700 of them at a cost of $54,000 because they've got, Brandon, what is it? Is it 17 people playing the circle game?
You're not allowed to do that anymore.
Well, it's a white supremacist signal, and so we can't be sure if these kids are white supremacists or are they playing the circle game. Mm. Is there much doubt in your mind about that, Brandon?
Well, I don't know the exact context because I didn't see the pictures. Did you see the pictures?
I didn't. No.
Okay, so I'm not sure if they are indeed playing the circle gang or game or if this particular high school just has a ton of white supremacists, even though it is a very multicultural school.
That could actually be the thing, right?
Well, let's call the school and find out.
Let's see. I'm just worried that they're going to call us when we call out.
So Meadows?
Everybody's sending us circle emojis.
What? How many minutes before the hour is it?
5.
Oh, just 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, we can save the racist school for after Tim, I suppose.
Maybe he has some sort of input. He's the principal in one of his TV shows.
Oh, that's true.
It was 18 TV shows.
Yeah. His principal in
Mean Girls. Mean Girls, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Tim has taken the Q line since he spent a lot of time here. There was a long story about the Q line yesterday and sort of a progress report. And not surprisingly, ridership is on the low end of projections.
Shocked.
It's about 3,000 a day, 18,000 a month, and you know they spent $145 million on this. Plus, it costs $16.7 million to run over 5 years. And in the course of running the Q line, one of the biggest complaints is that the expected arrival times are just they said hypothetical because they're so off.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 3 mile line.
Well, when you got cars that park in front of it and you can't turn, what do you expect?
Right.
I found that so funny that that's a continuing problem because they said the other problem is it takes a number of phone calls to get the cars towed.
Jesus.
Why is this such an obstacle? Wait. Because you can park at McDonald's for 5 minutes and they'll tow you.
Just hire those spotters.
That's why? Right. They're too busy down there.
Rob Walchek's story.
Yeah.
They've got spotters and they call the minute the people park and they tow them. And those people are legally parked, by the way. It's just so stupid. And then they said they're spending $38,000 on a GPS-equipped system to tell people when. Is it really that hard to a 3 mile line, and they're having trouble telling people when it will arrive?
You would have thought because they're talking about updating it. Why wasn't that just built in?
Yeah, GPS. I mean, that's pretty standard. You need to know when
something's going to arrive.
Yeah,
I mean, that wasn't included in that massive price.
No,
the $145 million did not include any way to know when it will get there. To its number of stops.
Well, I mean, couldn't the conductor? Is there a conductor?
Well, that's the other thing. Yes, is
it driverless?
There is somebody.
So why doesn't he just have his phone on and then he can run GPS while he's there? And then everyone.
Could he text someone at the stop and just say it'll be here in 5 minutes? Wouldn't that be better than the hypothetical electronic signs that aren't working?
Here's why you need an operator. On a recent Wednesday morning, two young women rushed into a lightly populated northbound train and took their seats near the front.
Seems lightly populated is pretty common.
I don't have a ticket, one of the women told the Q Line ambassador, who politely asked to see their tickets. Oh, you can download the app and purchase one, the ambassador explained. The woman pulled out her phone. The ambassador moved on to talk to another passenger. When the train stopped a few minutes later at the Canfield station, the woman and her friend sped past the ambassador towards the door. Did you guys finish paying? The ambassador asked. Yeah, she just paid. The friend called out.
Right, so it sounds like he really had no idea.
No, they didn't pay.
They really paid.
That's why they got off at the next stop. So stupid.
This really sounds dumb.
Fares do not make up a large portion of the Q Line revenue. The M1 Rail puts the number at 10% of the operating system, a percentage described as low by the head of the well-regarded Portland streetcar.
Wait, that's crazy low.
It's 10%. Insane. It's insane.
So this is just another public dole Like the people mover.
It's a big scam.
They charge 50 cents for the people. I think maybe it's 75 now. It costs $5 per rider.
Why?
When was the last time you heard someone say, yeah, I took the people mover?
Never.
I mean, it runs, if you watch it, you look at it go by with the big billboards, and there's never anyone in it.
No.
Because it's going in a circle.
Public transportation just doesn't seem to be...
Well, when one goes in a circle, and the other one just goes 3.1 miles, and it can't turn, so it gets stuck behind parked cars. Which, I'd love to hear an interview with all the people that park their car on the queue line tracks. How selfish of a person do you have to be?
Oh, I'm just going to run in real quick.
Yeah. After all, it's not going to be here for 25 minutes.
The 16.7 million to operate it for 5 years, I just thought, boy, it seems like I'd like to learn how to run the queue line, because that seems like a lot. That's over $3 million a year to opt to run it. It just runs in a circle, right?
Are you saying you're going to do it for $12
million? I would consider going
Undercut
into the business.
It?
Yes. I would cut that price. I don't, doesn't that seem like a lot?
The ambassadors would be the first things to go.
Absolutely. No, it's 3 miles.
I know.
There's just a couple cars, right?
Yeah.
Aren't there, aren't there things?
Opening hotline is opening.
Nervous.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Tim Meadows could be close by. Oh, no, I don't hear him. Oh, that's the Hall Financial Hotline.
Yes. Oh, I have breaking news regarding David Faraday, too.
What?
He's been canceled.
What?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, guess who isn't?
Tim Meadows. Some issues with flights.
Okay.
Sorry.
So you're off the hook.
Loading.
Trudy rubbing it in. Whose record does that go against? The David Faraday?
Eli.
Okay. I believe he's coming in now. It's Tim Meadows.
Hi, Tim.
Hello. Hi.
How you doing?
Please say, hey, it's a lady.
I'm doing
to me.
Good.
It's a lady.
I'm actually, like, I'm, of course, talking on the phone, but I'm trying to get my earplugs unraveled so I can put my earplugs in.
Oh.
Oh, well, take your time.
Oh, yeah.
Take your time.
I was trying to be prepared for this, but I wasn't prepared. Wait 1 second.
Well, you have, like, 14 jobs.
It's the subject. He doesn't, well, how much
he doesn't need. Just has to be Tim Meadows.
Yeah, that's the easy
part. Okay, now.
Happening. This is Leon Phelps. You got the ladies, man. Ooh,
yeah,
with the ladies.
There you go. All right, take two.
All right.
Oh, that cracks me up.
I'm here.
All right.
Hi, Tim.
Yeah, what's happening?
Hey, I want to tell you something. I knew we were talking to you today, and I was excited, and I did a search for the ladies, man. I put it on. I love that movie. Trudy, I know you love it.
Oh, my God. I'm going to watch it 10 times this weekend.
It is really, really funny. And for some reason, the Rotten Tomato numbers are, why are, how can, the, it was 11% for the thermometer, the critics?
That's bullshit.
I know. I was like, what?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that may be a flaw in their analytics or something. But
a flaw in the thermometer?
Yeah. But I think, you know, that was based, it's based on, you know, like reviews from the critics when the movie came out.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know, if people who like the movie were to, you know, put their opinions in, I think it would go up.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing with everything. You need the public to refresh its opinion. Because
yeah, and it was a small movie, so it didn't have that kind of, you know, the fans of Ladies and Man do not get online and comment on movies. You know what I mean? My fans are not that crazy about online stuff.
God, I'm going to go online and go crazy.
Yeah, me
about
too.
The Ladies Man.
I saw you talking on, I think it was Seth, with Seth, about the Ladies Man in the Me Too era, and I started thinking, I'm like, that's a great idea for a sequel. Can that not be done?
I don't know if it could be done. I mean, I would love to do some kind of thing with the Ladies Man in the future. It still is one of my favorite things to do. And people know it so well, but I don't think anybody's clamoring for a Ladies Man 2 movie right now.
We are.
I want to say that I am clamoring for Ladies Man 2.
Well, Kickstarter it.
Yeah. Please, yeah, just put it online. Try to get people to put money into it.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of movies like that, though, that for some reason they just get bashed when they come out. And then as time goes on, Extract is the one I always talk about.
Oh, yeah.
God, that movie with Jason Bateman and J.K. Simmons?
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons.
Oh, my God, that movie is so funny.
Kristen Wiig,
absolutely. Yeah. Nobody talks about that movie. It probably is. I wonder what its ratings are.
It's funny how that happens. I mean, because that happened with, what was it, Family Guy or something?
Yeah.
It was on, and then they took it off for a minute. And then it sold well in DVDs or something, and then they brought it back, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's a crazy business. You never know what will happen. I mean, I did Ladies' Man, I think it was in 2000, you know? And it's been 19 years, and it's on TV every year. It's on Valentine's Day on Comedy Central, like, every year.
It should be. Now, I saw you said that you're always going to be asked about Leon, like, first thing out of ours. But then Drew and I were talking. There's so many scene-stealing characters that you've done, be it in Popstar, where you're the manager, or Mean Girls, the principal.
Oh, Dewey Cox.
Dewey Cox stands out.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one of those that's your favorite, where you're like a movie where you just stole the scene?
I don't know. I mean, I never consider myself like stealing scenes. I just try to like do a good job, you know.
Don't be modest.
Yeah, just say Dewey Cox.
Just say Dewey Cox or semi-pro.
Well, I would say between Dewey Cox and semi-pro, it was fun doing the scenes that I did that people liked. So I mean, like sitting around that table during the Jive Turkey scene with Andy Richter and Will Ferrell and
Arnett.
You know, Will Arnett. I mean, we were like cracking up just trying to get through the scene in the beginning, because in the beginning Will was improvising the idea of liking Swedish porn over American porn. And so that stuff was making us laugh. And we already knew where it was going, where, you know, Will was going to pull out a gun because I caught him a Jive Turkey. So, I mean, that was really fun. And then shooting Walk Hard, the whole movie was a blast to shoot. Like, I got to know Chris Parnell and Matt Besser, who were the other musicians in the movie. And the whole scene where I said, "You never once paid for drugs."
Yeah. And repeated
that. Yes, that was, I improvised that while we were shooting it. And they kept it in the movie just the way we did it. And I knew that I would make Besser and Parnell laugh if I repeated the same line again. And so I did it. And I did it three times. And when it was all over, you know, the director, Jake Kasdan, said, like, "We're keeping that in." He's like, "We're not going to have you add any more." That was perfect. So I was very proud of that moment,
I want to mention that Tim is at the Blind Pig on Saturday in Ann Arbor. Not to mention, this is a lot of plugs for one guy at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
You're on Schooled on ABC, Miracle Worker on TBS, CBS Digital with No Activity. Oh my God, that's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, and I just did the season finale of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, that's right.
That's another recurring.
And the season finale of Bob's Burgers. So that's coming up soon.
Wow.
Right. Why do you need 18 jobs, though? Is that
Well, I bought a house in Detroit, so that's part of the problem. So now I got too many homes.
Yeah.
I got to pay for them all.
That was fun. I was reading about that. That's why I saw that story in, I'm not sure where it was.
Our Detroit.
Is that where it was? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it said that you were staying here and you're going to Tiger games because you had season tickets. Are you really going to all the home games?
I haven't been able to go I went to a couple games when I was there, but I haven't been able to go as much as I wanted to this season because I've been out of it. I also live in Chicago, so I've been in Chicago a lot more, but I'm hopefully going to be off the entire month of June, and then that's when I plan on going to as many Tigers games as I can.
Cool.
Right now, my family really appreciate the fact that I bought season tickets because they get to go to all of the games. So it's great.
Nice. This is funny, and I almost feel like I don't want to ask because I always think there's a lot put into the names that your characters use, like Cornelius Banks in Semi-Pro, and Leon Phelps is such a great name. Do you guys labor over that stuff, or is that something where I'm just putting too much thought into this myself?
Yeah, you might be putting too much thought into it. No, I think like with Cornelius, that was the name that was in the script, so that came from the writers. And Leon Phelps was a name that the two guys that I write the ladies' man with, Dennis McNicholas and Andrew Steele, they came up with the name Leon Phelps. So when they sent it to me, I was like, oh, yeah, that's great. Because when I used to do the character, I used to make crank phone calls, and I used to use the name Rudiger. And I would say his name, this is Rudiger Jones, you know. And so when they came up with that name, I was like, oh, that's perfect. That's a great name. So that's what we stuck with.
Anytime you're on a show like Saturday Night Live, if you're part of a highlight reel of the show, what a great honor that is. And I consider the whole I Did It OJ skit, that's one of those moments that I will always remember that on SNL. And in fact, Mark, you were talking about
in the Live from New York book. I can't remember who it was that was saying that. That was the loudest they've ever heard 8H explode in laughter was when you wrote I Did It as the Joosh.
Yeah, that I remember that too, man. It was Andrew Bergman, who was a writer. He created Monk, that TV mm-hmm. show. Mm-hmm. But he was a guest writer at SNL that year, and he wrote that sketch with I think with another writer, I believe. But I remember that it was almost like that everybody in the audience or in America put together a puzzle piece at the same time.
And they did.
You know, because I'm spelling it out with the telestrator, and you don't know exactly what I'm doing at first. And then when it all comes out and I says I did it, the audience just, it was more than laughter as much as it was like a sigh of relief or something, you know? And I do, I remember it. I remember people when I came off the set, you know, Lauren and Robert Smigel and people like that, other writers, they were just like shaking me as I was walking off going, wow, good job. That was really good, you know.
Did you?
Yeah.
Were you at all nervous when OJ was then released from prison a couple years ago?
Yeah, very much so. It didn't very matter. Nervous. And I always look behind my back whenever I'm walking out.
You know, as I was reading, I believe it may have been the same article that talked about you coming back to Detroit. It was talking about some of your favorite things, writing, and, you know, we don't usually separate what's written, and we just think, oh, he did it, he performed it, so therefore, but it mentioned the Soap Opera Digest thing with Alec Baldwin, and I remembered it, but I immediately looked it up and watched it, and I laughed out loud multiple times. That is so funny, where he's playing, Alec Baldwin is playing a doctor on the soap, and do you remember that?
Yeah.
He mispronounces all the, you know,
all the
Colin and...
Yeah. Yeah, so all the words, it's a great all the script. Words that you would expect a doctor to know.
Very, very basic ones, yeah.
Yeah, and the whole joke of it was that he was a dumb actor on the soap opera.
Right.
And he never really researched his script. And that was one of the few sketches. I mean, I would write for the show and not actually be in the sketch sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the sketches that I wrote. And when it all came together, it was such a pleasure to watch it on the monitor standing next to Lauren, because it was sort of like, here's my gift to the show this week. And I don't want anything except for the other people in the cast to look good, you know?
Oh, man.
Yeah, and he just nailed it.
Alec Baldwin, he made it, he did it so good. And Phil Hartman, God rest his beautiful soul, he got laughs where the camera would cut to Phil just looking at Alec Baldwin while he did those lines, and the audience would start laughing at Phil. And that kind of stuff, you can't write. Yeah. You know, it's all with the actor, and that's how great Phil Hartman was. He could do amazing things with just being a straight man.
Speaking of writing, can you tell us about writing the week for Steven Seagal?
Oh, my God.
Boy, how much time do you have? This is a long week.
Sounded like it was not the best host to write for.
No, I mean, you know, he's another reason why I look over my shoulder whenever I walk out in the public too. Not one of my favorite hosts. Mm. It was hard to write for. I had written a sketch that week for him. They did really well. They'd read through, and then he didn't pick it. You know. And then as the week went on, he came to me and said, I don't like these sketches that they've written. What happened to the sketch that you wrote? I go, you cut it. You didn't pick it. And he goes, well, can we, is it too late to get it now? And I go, yeah, it's too late because it's Friday and like sets have been built. Like that sketch is gone. It's dead. And he was just like, he was just not a fun or nice guy all the time, you know? And that was 1 week. I did not have fun that week, you know? Why'd you guys bring that up? I was having a great day.
Well, it's funny now.
It's in live from New York, the SNL book too. Yeah. 10 years on SNL, Tim Meadows, native Highland Parker, and now back in Detroit and maybe going to some ball games and knocking around. And, God, there's so, again, the resume just goes on and on.
I thought of another underrated Tim Meadows performance.
Okay.
The voice of Stedman Graham. Probably the best cartoon that that TV Funhouse ever did.
Oh, wow, that's funny. That you are really going deep into my resume there.
Oh.
That was written by Robert Smigel. That was a cartoon... TV Funhouse cartoon.
Yeah. You're and, right. The read isn't. It's really good. That is so funny. I could watch that right now and laugh at it probably six
it
times
up.
Out loud. It really does hold up, and I believe that it's true.
I want it to be true. Yeah.
Yeah, where all of these husbands of rich women are like they like you know solve international crime. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
You ever hear from somebody afterwards who's not happy? You know, I guess as a performer, you would always be the guy that would get it. I mean, you joked about OJ and such, but did you ever really hear from anyone?
You know, I heard from not really anything angry, you know, like Bernard Shaw, who was a CNN anchor. He complained. He wrote a letter to NBC complaining about my performance. An impression of him. I don't remember it exactly, but I just sort of remember I played it as if he was off, like falling asleep while he was on camera. And so he wasn't happy. And I remember they showed me the letter, and it was like, you know, how horrible you guys are. It's not funny. I got a really nice letter from Greg Dumble.
Oh, yeah.
I did him on the CBS sports sketch, and he wrote me a letter and said that it was very funny, and he said, but next time you need to look fatter. And I thought it was really sweet of him to, you know, take a hit like that at him. So.
Oh, he's a really sweet guy.
He wrote us a letter once. Remember that?
Yeah, we got him a bootleg of a Stones show, and he was so happy.
Grateful,
he's a huge Stones fan. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he is. He's really nice, yeah.
Tim, when you were going to Pershing High School... Back in the day, were you looking towards something like Saturday Night Live? Because I know you went to Wayne State was it communications?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was in high school, no. I wasn't. I was a big fan of SNL when I was in high school. And I was probably the only student in Pershing High that, like, watched the show.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends, actually, I used to put a cassette tape player in front of the TV. And then record the show, and then listen to it later because we didn't have VCRs back then.
Yeah,
and I remember playing it for one of my friends, and it was a Richard Pryor show, and I gave it to my friend who was very cool and had girlfriends and stuff. And then I got it from him the next day, and then he walked over to me with his girlfriend, and he goes, "Here's that tape, man. That was really funny." And then she goes, "This is the guy that taped the TV show?" I felt like such a nerd. She said it as if I did something that was like just disgusting. She was like, he taped a TV show?
I've seen a lot.
I was such a nerd back then.
I've seen, heard from a lot of cast members who have said they taped the show. Maybe not in cassette, but, you know, Andy Samberg, I know, was a fanatical viewer, and somebody else on SNL used to, I think, even write transcripts of, I mean, there's some crazy people, and I love that show, too. In fact, you know, Belushi and Murray and in that group of Chevy Chase, I thought, oh, nothing will ever touch that cast. And then in the early 80s, it looked like maybe I was right. And then you guys came along, and those were fabulous casts in the 90s and the early 2000s with Will Ferrell and Chris Farley and David Spade and, Dana Carvey. Of course, there are women in there somewhere.
I wasn't throwing them in, because I just think they're funny. And
she
Amy Poehler.
She's a
Sherry O'Terry.
No, they're all superstars to me. And then when I come up on the show now, I know the show does very well. In fact, it may do as well as ever, but I don't feel, and I hate being one of those guys who goes, oh, it's not like it used to be. I feel like I'm old. Well, I am old, but I feel like I'm being old by saying that. But I feel like now the show has a lot of guest stars, not as many recurring characters, which used to drive the show always. It seemed like the church lady, ladies' man, you know, there were so many great running things on that show, and it seems like now it's more guest stars. And I know you probably don't want to dump on SNL, but I just was curious what if you have thoughts on the show now.
Well, I mean, I'm a fan of the show and the cast, and I'm not saying that just because it's my, you know, it's I used to be on it. I really do. I was actually watching the Paul Rudd show. I didn't get all the way through it, but they're very funny, and you can always tell when they cast when they like each other. And I think this cast really enjoy performing with each other, and you can see it in the performances. And then the other thing I think, and I've said before, is that the cast on that show now, they're more trained to be on that show than when I was coming up. Like, for me, that was the first TV show that I worked on. And it was a live show from New York, and we wrote it and produced it and everything. I came from Second City before I got on that show. And I had no experience in television whatsoever. And the cast on the show now, they've done other things. Now, I use Kenan as an example. You know, Kenan, when he was a kid, he had a show like Saturday Night Live. And so I think the cast now, they're more prepared to come into the show and score. And I think it makes for a more professional-looking show. And I think that with all the guest stars and everything, I think you have to do that because you have to do something that keeps excitement for the viewers at home. And so, you know, sometimes I think, yeah, it may have been funnier if somebody else from the cast played Trump every week. But it is also very cool to see Alec Baldwin doing it, you know?
I always liked guest stars. I mean, I always enjoyed it. It just seemed that it's maybe a little more reliant on it. But, no, the show does fantastic, I'm still a huge fan of the show. It's just maybe...
The thing that I've not ever really been a fan of is when someone does an impression of someone on the show, and then that person comes on the show and does it with the character.
Yeah.
You know, that's because then you can't really parody the character anymore because you sort of given in to saying that, like, we're different people. You know, I accept you as a character, you know. I don't know.
It takes the bite away.
It always seems awkward to me.
Yeah.
Although,
I think I enjoyed the most of the thing is that, like, I feel like I'm doing it behind a person's back.
Yeah, that's fun.
And so it seems meaner. Yeah. And that's what I want. I wanted to be meaner.
When I went back to Wayne State and Pershing, let's see, Second City followed Wayne State or closely thereafter. And I've got to tell you, there's a bunch of people who kill me if I don't bring up Chris Farley and the fact that you worked with him before SNL and then on SNL, because people always want more Chris Farley stories. And I don't know what in the world there is left to tell, but I just want to take you there if there's something you can give us on Chris.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of memories. I don't know, and stories. I don't know if all of them are like good to say on the radio, because he was pretty wild. But I don't know. You know, I knew him before any of that happened to either of us, you know. And when we were working in Chicago and just doing improv and working in Second City, we would spend the day together because we didn't have anything else to do, you know, during the day. And so we would have breakfast and then we would go see a movie, or we would find some sort of artistic endeavor to take on. Like, we would go and watch a quartet play at the library, or we would go over to the park or walk into the zoo. But we both, like, needed to like, you know, do something to, during the day, keep our anxiety at bay because we had to perform in the evening.
Yeah.
And I just remember those days where it would be me and Chris, like, all day. And then he would come back to my apartment, and I'd get him a pillow and a blanket, and he would fall asleep on the floor. And I would fall asleep on the couch. And then he'd wake up at about 6:30 and then, like, hit me and say he was leaving. And then he'd go take a shower, and then I'd meet him at Second City, and we'd perform. Hmm. And that we would do that, like, every day for a long time, wow. You know? And I miss those moments. I miss waking up and, like, seeing Chris Farley on the floor in my apartment sleeping, you know? he was a great guy. Everything Adam says in that song is perfect, just perfect. Because that's just how the kind of person he was. He was religious, but he also had a rough side. He loved making people laugh. He loved his family, and he loved his fans, and he loved the comedians that came before him that he patterned himself after.
Well, you were, Mark, you mentioned also from Live from New York that did it suggest that Tim was supposed to be part of the Purge?
Yeah, with Sandler and Farley and Spade, I think. And you somehow stayed the execution.
Yeah.
And I think Jim Downey was blown out at the same time. How'd you survive? Like, what was it that made them keep you?
Sketches like Soap Opera Digest.
Yeah.
the network, they were going to get rid of everybody. And then they asked Lauren and my managers if I would stay on as a writer. And my manager, for me, before they even told me, said, no, he will not stay on just as a writer. And so Lauren called me and said, don't take any other work. I'm going to get you on this show. I'm bringing you back, but you got to trust me. And so I did. I waited summer. I didn't, you know, because I could have went to L.A. and tried to get other shows or whatever. But I wanted to go back to SNL because I felt like I hadn't really done what I wanted to do. I felt like I was just had been in the background my first like four seasons or whatever it was, you know? And so I did, I waited, he hired me back. I actually had to live in my office and at a hotel for the first like 2 months of the show.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Because I let my apartment go, you know?
Oh,
but how weird was that though with those guys gone? I mean, those are your buddies. You just talked about Farley. So they're gone and there's a lot of new people. And how bizarre was that to deal with that changeover?
Well, Spade was there. Molly was there. Norm McDonald was there. Some of the same writers were there. Jim Downey, I think, came back and just ran update. And so it wasn't, I mean, I missed working with those people. But during that period that I was there, a lot of people left, like, year by year, you know?
Yeah, it was an expiration.
And then the other thing was that I, like I said, I felt like I hadn't done what I wanted to do completely on the show. And I had to start thinking about my own career. And I wasn't thinking about, oh, well, if my friends are coming back, I'm not going to want to work there, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I'll make new friends. And I did make new friends. They are as close to me as my friends from the other cast. I talked to Will and Molly Shannon and Anna and, you know, the writers that wrote Ladies Man with me. I talked to those guys all the time. And, you know, so it was a little weird. Like, it was different people, like, at my school. That's sort of how it was, you know. Like, I'm a senior now, and there's a bunch of freshmen coming in.
Huh.
But, you know, they were cool freshmen. They were funny, and That's it, I think.
I wanted to get your thoughts, too, not to make it all about Farley, but he comes back to host. You're in that cold open with Lorne. Is that tough to watch now, or is it, you know, it is what it is?
Well, I don't watch it now, so it's not tough for me to watch. I mean, to be honest, I don't. I don't watch that show. If it came on and I saw it, I would watch it, I guess, but... And then I would probably just think of it as like the last time that I, you know, sort of got to hang out with him. But it was a rough week, and it doesn't, it's not the main thing I think about when I think of Chris Farley.
Yeah. You know? Tim's going to be at the Blind Pig Saturday night in Ann Arbor, Schooled on ABC, Miracle Worker on TBS, and of course, CBS Digital. For no activity, so many things going on. And Katya, I was going over your credits. It's just the longest list. It's amazing. And another
underrated performance, Trainwreck.
Ah, yes.
The one line kills where Bill Hader's talking about all the athletes he works on. And you guys are all impressed. And then he gets to A-Rod, and Tim just goes, "Fuck that guy." He's really pissed about that. That's a killer line of the delivery. I don't know.
Yeah, thank you. That wasn't, I wish I could take credit for it, but that was Judd Apatow told me to say that.
Well, it was all in the delivery, Tim.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I'm so glad we got to spend some time with you, and I hope you do so well, continue to do well, and have a great night Saturday, and maybe we'll bump into you at a Tiger game. Who knows?
Yeah, let me know if you see me.
Yeah, I will. Okay. Thank you, Tim.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
Bye, Tim. Thanks for calling.
All right. You bet. Bye-bye.
What a great guy.
Yay.
Another one of Trudy's interviews
through. I love, love, love. But Tim Meadows, he's so good.
He's really good.
I was laughing. There's another scene in Grown Ups 2 where he's Malcolm. He's just a guy that works at the Kmart, and he's bald.
That was hilarious. Mark, I was looking at his credits today. I'm going, I can't believe how much stuff he's in. And I know this stuff, too. Yeah. And I'm going, and he does typically come in sometimes smaller roles, but he really delivers. A lot of guys like that.
I didn't know he wrote that sketch with
the soap opera digest.
That's such a great sketch.
I know, it's really funny. We should play a little bit of it. But first, I got to mention, Trudy, get ready for Dr. Bush. It's what we've all been waiting for. It's finally here. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Spring Sales Event. Wonder what all the excitement is about? Well, I'll explain. During Zot's Spring Sales Event, you can lease a new 19 Ram Bighorn 4x4 as low as $166 a month. You can lease a new loaded 19 Jeep Compass as low as $198 a month. Or if you want to move the whole family around in total luxury, how about a 19 Chrysler Pacifica as low as $292 a month? Plus, they had employee pricing for everyone. Worked out great, and they've kept it going at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. So while supplies last, get employee pricing on all new 18 Jeep Wranglers in stock. Nobody else is doing that for you. See details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
And Dr. Roche is segueing into June because it's wedding month, and that's a big obligation right there.
Oh, boy.
It's to get people looking beautiful for that big day, and there are a whole lot of procedures that actually can make you look beautiful and feel beautiful. Extremely important set of procedures to immortalize your wedding photos, for one thing. It'll be something that you look at for the rest of your life. And, of course, make everybody look amazing in the wedding party. Zorona for the bride, for the mother of the bride, or for all the bridesmaids to shape and contour those trouble areas. Body tight for the idea of that hourglass figure in your wedding lace. And, of course, the picture on his website is the entire wedding party, all the ladies from behind.
Ah.
Illustrating the idea that that is extremely important as well to make sure you look great in your dress.
That wedding party looks very good from behind.
I'm done.
You might have a butt lift in there.
Yeah, or two.
Nice.
Yeah. That for the hourglass figure on your special day, Morpheus 8, BBL for the wow look in your wedding pictures. You want your face glowing. That's the way to get it done. If you're going to be a June bride, or if you're part of the bridal party, or, you know, if you just want to look beautiful or feel beautiful, and there are a lot of other procedures as well. Dr. Rush's office, eyelid lifts, that's blepharoplasty. That one kills me.
Blepharoplasty.
Diva, and we all know Diva is one of those great things that helps women. Women only. Although, Mark, you can...
Don't forget boobs.
Cool.
Sure you can have it.
Let's do it.
Boobs, and breast lifts, anything to make your body look beautiful. 248-338-1110. DROCHE.com. If you go to his website, you can look at all these pictures and see what you think might help you.
That reminded me of Taryn Asher did a story on Fox 2 last night about this prom dress screw job.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. I hate it when people do stuff like this.
I hated that girls have to get prom dresses.
I know.
And, you know, they were sort of featuring this mom from Warren who works three jobs, and her daughter works a job, and they pooled their money together, and it was a rather extravagant prom dress. So I have to say I might have wanted to spend less if I were in their position. I mean, it's funny how these thoughts go through your head as you're watching this. Boy, did they really need to spend that much? But, you know, it was this girl's dream. She really wanted to get a nice dress for prom, and so...
When Charlotte was born, I actually thought of that and thought of paying for a wedding and thought of all of the... I'm like,
yeah.
Man, the parents of women really get screwed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Where's my dowry?
It's quite...
give me a goat or a cow.
You know, it was so funny on... what a tangent this is. 90 Day Fiancé, this guy married this girl from... I can't remember where exactly. It was East. It might have been Philippines. Anyway, this guy is the 48-year-old Lode who married the 24-year-old, and she's this beautiful girl. The parents are, you know, they're living in some kind of poverty. I mean, horrible poverty. And the dowry is something they expect from the man who marries their daughter. It's like, okay, this is our chance to cash in. Whoa, she landed an American. This is awesome. This guy has nothing.
Sorry.
He has no money whatsoever. In fact, he runs out of money while he's over there, and this friend comes over for the ceremony, and this friend is full of money, and he basically loans him some money, which I guarantee you he never got paid back.
Oh.
But this load... is like, I don't have any money for this. There's some tradition where you exchange bracelets and rings, and that was, I don't know how, that was like $2,000. And he was like, oh my God, how am I going to pay this? And somehow he came up with the money. Then the dowry. And it's like the family wants $500,000.
Oh, yeah.
What's the currency there? $500,000.
I don't know.
GOTS or something. GHT or some ridiculous currency, which would have been, I think, $15,000. And he's like, I've only got 1,500.
Oh no,
that's all I've got. Oh. So
well, you know what though? What does the family do then? They say, no deal. You cannot marry her.
They agreed to take the 1,500.
Yeah, of course.
But then he had to negotiate by this guy. He had to buy them two buffalo. After that, too, that's everybody has to do that, I guess. And the buffalo, and they're actually looking at these buffalo, going, "Are there any cheaper buffalo?"
Wow, bizarre!
So funny.
Where do you buy buffalo these days?
Well, in the Philippines,
at the dowry store.
It was
a buffalo store.
She knew where to get them, and they were explaining why the buffalo are so important, and blah blah blah. Anyway, this guy had no cash. They had a wedding coming up. And his friend came, and he basically spent all the money. And then when they went to America, they stayed at the friend's house. Like, he didn't have his own place. He didn't have a car. He didn't have shit. Like, this dowry's a joke. And then they were about to split up. And I'm going, well, does he get the dowry money back? Does he get the money for the rings back? It was so stupid.
Wow. He didn't know. I don't think he knew what he was getting himself into.
He didn't. Every single event was a huge surprise and a huge disaster. I mean, these women, when they think they've got an American on the line, they just think there's a money tree. And
wrong.
She was actually a pretty sweet girl. She had no business being with this load. Oh, my God, was he a load.
Well, you know how that deal turned out, right?
And I think I told the story when they met his three kids, and he almost lost his mind because they were FaceTiming with the kids. And he said, she can get her nails done with you, to his daughter, who he knew was going to object to this.
Yeah.
And she holds up her hands, showing her nails, and she's got an engagement ring, and the daughter didn't know they were engaged.
Oh, no.
And he's, like, pulling her hand down.
Oh, what a loser.
Then they meet the daughter.
They're losers.
Who immediately tells the girl that, my dad is, if you want to have kids with my dad, you're out of your mind. He's the worst father ever. And he used to buy prostitutes, in fact, Asian prostitutes.
Oh,
and that's one of the reasons my mom dumped him.
Just say, that's how we met.
And then he tries to get her to come to the wedding. And she says, that's on my birthday. You're taking all the focus from my birthday.
Well,
and
first, I'm like, first off, grow. How old is the daughter?
28.
Well, first 28. Off, grow up. But secondly, how did he not know?
Well, he did know. He mentioned it when he said, it's on your birthday. And she's like, that's my birthday. You're taking the focus away from my birthday.
Oh, they're both wrong in that moment.
I end up hating the kid more than the father, if that's possible. He had a drinking problem, too.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Really messy. I don't know if they're still together. Over the last...
if you don't like America, then you can get out.
Did you find Soap Opera Digest, Brandon?
Oh, yeah.
You did? Oh, all right. First, I'll mention that Luke Nowacki is available for you. If you have not been paying attention to your investments, or you don't have investments, or you don't have a financial plan, or you've got kids looking at college, this is, I find, so common. People with 401ks, and they really aren't looking at how it's doing versus the market. Luke Nowacki's the guy you want to take a look at your plan and maybe help you improve on it, or maybe even come up with a plan. Call Luke Nowacki's team at 248-663-4748. If nothing else, you're going to go to the 13th floor of that beautiful building in Southfield.
Yeah,
I didn't know there were buildings that nice in Southfield, to be honest. And that suite they have is absolutely gorgeous. They must do something right there. Mm. Or you can email Luke at lnowacki at, where's the email? Oh, yeah, lnowacki, L-N-O-W-A-C-K-I, at pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. And you might ask him for, you can use your Tiger tickets once or twice. Oh, yeah. Just saying. I know he's got some good Tiger tickets.
Well, yeah, he always has... Yeah,
Luke is a doer. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Remember, FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned and other entities, and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. And he's supported the network as well. He's been on with Charlie for a while. So, yeah. So there.
Word's getting around wheels, too. There are some people who are interested hitting Luke up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Nips.
I saw Podell as a podcast, by the way.
Wait, he does?
He does.
Oh, my God. I did not know that.
No, he's not. He's on the WLZ network, apparently. Oh. He had an interview with Fran Belkin.
What?
Oh, yeah.
You're scooping us.
Did I give you the book back, Trudy?
No, I think it's still upstairs.
Okay, I'll bring it down. She wrote the book on Belkin Productions, and she had this interesting job. She was sort of the, you know, she did everything.
Yeah.
But her primary job originally was to make swag for the bands and their crew.
Oh.
Which... You know, of course, they would make exceptionally nice things for them as a souvenir. And so she had pictures of all the stuff that they made for the bands, which is kind of cool. And then there's stories to go along with so many of these concerts. I told the Miles Davis story coming off stage. Yeah. You want to fuck?
Possibly just thought she might be interested.
Miles Davis.
Got an offer.
She was interested in turning red. I think that was about all she was interested in. And not to mention her husband was the promoter. So, but yeah, she's got some great stories in her book. And we're going to talk to her. And she's
amazing
got
pictures.
A great picture. She's got a gig with Gary Graff coming up, too, where I think he talks to her and people can ask questions. And I know they did one or they're doing the next one, I think, at Third Man Records. I guess they must have a great party room there, because I've heard about three parties there, and I've never been invited to one.
Gary's always invited.
I know.
You think he could take us?
Knows everyone.
God's sakes. He
probably could attend that one. I think it's on the 29th of May, but we'll talk to her tomorrow.
Just have Maz ask him.
Oh man. Any luck on soap opera? Oh, there's Soap Opera Digest. Yeah, play this. This is really funny. I'm gonna grab the book.
Good morning, and welcome to Soap Opera Digest. I'm your host, Helen DeSanto, and with us today is actor Trent Derricks, one of the stars
great
of Doctors,
fake name,
Nurses,
Trent
and
Derricks.
Patients, the new daytime drama seen weekdays here on NBC. Welcome, Trent.
Well, thank you very much, Helen.
I'm so skinny.
He looks like a totally different person.
I'm sure
person.
You hear this all the time, Helen, but you look ravishing.
Thank you, Trent. Now, is that you saying that or your character, Dr. Dirk Johansson?
No, that's my opinion, but I'm sure that Dr. Dirk would agree.
Now, you're best known for a character you used to play, race car driver Brace McFadden on ABC's The Love of Your Life.
Yes.
Now, Trent, do you research your roles?
Oh, yes, Helen. When I was playing the part of race car driver Brace McFadden, I hung around with some auto mechanics so that I could learn more about cars. I learned quite a bit, actually. For instance, oil filter, air filter, rack and pinion steering. The list literally goes on and on. I used to think that rack and pinion was one word.
Oh. And your research of your role as Dr. Johansson?
Oh, very, very different. Instead of talking to mechanics, I spoke with doctors.
Well, let's take a look at you in action. This is from Doctors, Nurses, and Patients.
Great show title.
Dr. Johansson, Taylor Middleton is here to see you. He's not scheduled for an appointment. Should I let him in?
Yes, Harriet, by all means.
Well, dramatic.
Well, it's doctors, patients.
Yeah, that's true.
Nurses and patients.
Look at the hair.
Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman.
God, they love wigs on this show.
Dirk, what's the verdict?
Forgot his school.
Taylor, I'm afraid we've received some very, very bad news. We got the results from your urine test. Hey. Remember, you told me it had been some time since you had last evacuated your bowels. There appears to be some trouble with your colon.
Is it?
Look, I'm going to be straight with you, Taylor. We believe it might be a polyp. Might be the big C canker. Let's not jump to any conclusions right now. It might be benign, it might be malignant. Let's just hope it's benign.
Benign.
Now, I'm not sure I understand exactly what was going on in that scene, Trent.
Well, Helen, if you watch the show, you'll find out later that it was benign and not malignant. It was contract negotiation time for Vince Paley, who plays the part of Taylor, and they were thinking of writing him out of the series.
Interesting. Let's take another look at a scene from doctors, nurses, and patients.
Dr. Johansson? David Middleton, Taylor Middleton's son, is here to see you. He doesn't have an appointment. Should I send him in?
Thanks, Harriet. Send him in.
Mike Myers.
Hello, David. Have a seat.
Look, Doc, if there's something wrong with my dad, I want you to tell me the truth, okay? I can take it.
All right, son. There is some problem with your father's anal canal. We found a polyp.
Look, I don't know if I want to hear this, okay?
Dave. Your mom needs you to be strong now, son. David, this is the part of the job I hate most. There's no class at Yali Medical School that can prepare you for this. David, I'll do all I can, I promise you. Harriet! We've got an emergency here. There's something lodged in his esophagus. It can permanently damage his larynx.
Yes, doctor.
So great.
All right. Steve Gabar and the gang at Zotfort and Holly have kicked off their famous Memorial Day celebration. Some of the best deals of the year in full effect at Zotfort and dealsindeed.com. Plus, to commemorate Memorial Day properly, if you're active military, a veteran, a police officer, or first responder, you save an additional $1,000 to $1,500 off Zotford's ridiculously low advertised price. So lease a new 19 Ford F-150 Supercrew 4x4 as low as $144 a month, a new 19 Ford Explorer XLT as low as $185 a month. Finally, lease a new 19 Mustang Coupe at the lowest payment in years, just $236 a month. Don't forget active military, veterans, police, and first responders save even more. Get details and surf their massive inventory at dealsindeed.com. And Dr. Yaldo, now a full Red Shovel sponsor. If you listen to the other shows and this show, hopefully you've noticed what a supporter he is, along with David Hall. Trudy, Mark, Maz, Brandon, we all do our thing right here in the basement. All of you have been great to listen and sharing our shows with your friends and supporting our sponsors like Dr. Yaldo, Michigan's premier eye surgeon. They're also loyal and accountable to us. When you go see him to get rid of your glasses, contacts, or reading glasses, he knows that you came on our recommendation. He and the staff will give you great care and attention because we're all in this together. Trudy loves her LASIK and her designer sunglasses.
I do.
I haven't seen them in a couple days.
I never wear them down here.
Don't? No, you didn't bring them today?
They're in the car.
Okay. You just wore them the first day so we could all see your new designer sunglasses.
Yeah. If I take them out of the car, then that's it. You know, like.
Yeah, they may not go back to the car. Right. I get it. Eli loves his multifocal implants. Be done with old technology. Get true precision vision that'll change your world. Tell them we sent you. Get a free evaluation, preferred pricing, and easy financing if you need it. 1-800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to yelloweyecenter.com. And, of course, David Hall and Hall Financial sponsoring everyone on the Red Shovel Network as well. And we had a big tip week. I haven't heard from Jess, but I don't know how we could even touch last week.
How many last week?
We had 9 tips.
Wow.
Thanks for the tip.
I think that was the most. And, I mean, we've had great success with David. I mean, going back to Riff and, I don't know about 105.1, probably not. I don't know if he was he on 105.1 with us?
I don't think so. Was anybody?
Smart guy. No, nobody was. I was just remembering FanDuel. FanDuel was big sponsor of 105.1. But I'm glad those people saved, they missed out on that disaster. I wish I had. Everybody else knew it was a mistake.
That's why you're washed up. Now it's your comeback story.
That's right. Yeah, we'll have to get to some of the washed up, the new string on Radio Buzzboard, as I'm still washed up today, apparently. David Hall and Hall Financial, the team to go to if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance. Don't take it from this washed up radio personality. You've heard it from our listeners. They've got over 600 five-star reviews. I heard Eli say 700 on No Filter. So nice. Am I 100 behind?
Jeez.
I'm washed up. How am I supposed to keep up with this stuff? Anyway, they always put you first. In fact, 72% of Hall Financial's businesses referral. Realtors trust them. Their clients love them. 44 days on the average for a refi, 19 days for Hall Financial. They have saved a lot of people a lot of money. And that's found money when it's a refi. You know, that mortgage payment, it's set in stone for life. $1,000 a month, $1,200, $800, whatever you're paying. Wouldn't it be nice to pay $100 or $125 or $150 or $200 less per month forever?
Forever.
Yeah. So go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. That's drewandmike.hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000 or go to our website, Drew and Mike Show. Click on the Hall Financial link, fill out the online form, and they will get back to you mighty fast. You will not be disappointed. NMLS number 1467435 for Hall Financial.
Did you want to try to give that school a shout?
Yeah, let's call the racist school. They had to redo the yearbook because they've got so many racists doing that upside down okay sign. And frankly, we don't know if it's racist kids or the circle game.
Oh, really? You know what? It struck me that the thing to do for all that is for...
Assume they're racists.
No, you used to draw a penis in their hole.
That's a great idea. Because that would take the focus away from the racism.
Then they'll just be sexist.
It's inappropriate in a totally different way, but...
Yeah, I think it's fairly appropriate.
It's a circle, so there's a hole, there's something going in it, right?
Yes, Mike. One of his best sayings.
Seems so to be true. Very true, yes.
Simple.
This is the worst school ever. I mean, doesn't anything cool ever happen here?
Hi, this is Karen Sullivan at OPRF High School. You can leave a message or opt-in. Either way, you can get a hold of me is via email, as I'm in
our email's down still.
Yeah.
You want me to try another number?
Yeah, what's up? Did they answer this before, didn't they?
School's out.
They're an hour.
She's already gone.
An hour behind us.
It's still out.
No, somebody's there. I think they're avoiding all the people calling them on their racism.
Well, that is the yearbook department. We can try the principal.
Yeah, let's try the principal.
You have a yearbook department?
Well, yeah.
Sure.
Really? Oh, I don't
know. It's part of the journalism department.
Journalism.
You got to redo every yearbook.
Scoffing at journalism.
I'm glad schools don't need any money, because to spend $54,000 over some racist pictures is a drop in the bucket, of course, for any school system.
Sure.
By the way, I was reading about the charter school, the Andre Agassi Charter School.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I didn't
realize Las Vegas?
This. No, there's one here.
Is that the one that's closing?
Yes.
Hi, this is Dolores Collins in the principal's office at Oak Park in River Forest High School.
Hi, Dolores.
Are we too late?
Oh, yeah.
It's not even 3 o'clock there. Is there another number?
Cooper! Yeah, let me call the one that picked up and... Sorry about that.
I thought the Agassi School was a success in Vegas.
Well, you know what I've learned about these charter schools? In many cases, this is a money-making opportunity because it's X dollars per student. You open this charter school with, you know, a big name like Jalen Rose. I'm not saying his is a joke by any means. I think he probably cares.
You mean the Charles Pugh Leadership Academy?
Possibly.
There he is, Charles Pugh.
He's up with Stephen Grant.
He's in the joint.
He's in the same place as Stephen Grant.
He looks as stylish as he always did.
Who, Grant?
I bet his head is properly shaved every day.
Yes.
Boy, the shaved head sure is popular in prison.
Yes.
I mean, that's a happening look in there.
Business office.
Hi, is this the racist school with the racist pictures in the yearbook? I was trying to
ask who's calling.
Yes, it's the Drew and Mike Show, and we had heard that there were some racist pictures, and they had to remake the entire yearbook at a cost of $54,000 because of all the racist students making some symbol that means white supremacy. I guess I don't know much about it.
Karen Sullivan?
Yeah, I would love to.
We just did, and it went to her voicemail.
Okay,
yeah, we're just trying to get to the bottom of it because I couldn't believe there are that many racist kids in this school. I know the area, and it just seemed like a terrible story. I was very upset, and I wanted to get to the bottom of it.
We're glad somebody's doing something about it.
I hope somebody can clear this up.
You can talk to the superintendent is out today.
Is there anyone I can just talk to? It would make me feel better if there's just anybody who's available. I don't want to talk to a voicemail. I just want some human contact.
Let's see. How about Jacqueline McGowey?
Sounds lovely.
Okay. Is Jacqueline there?
I'm not sure. I don't work in her.
Can you speak to this, though? Did you feel that there's a lot of racism in the school as you walk the hallways?
No, I don't.
Really? And so you think this is kind of a fluke that these people are taking these racist pictures?
You can talk to her about the details.
Okay, so you think it is racism. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Wow, though.
You know what? When you read
she talked to you. It was pretty cool.
When you read the story, it's like it's a preemptive racial thing.
Yeah, they're anticipating weird. People going, oh, my God, the upside down okay sign all over that yearbook.
Silly.
I love your opening question.
Well, if you read the story, although the story actually said that the kids, many of them were clearly playing the circle game.
Sure, yeah. That's what Brandon but has they, insisted it the entire time.
Did not matter.
These kids aren't racist. They're not.
Well, they could be. You know,
no, they're
could,
not.
They could be.
They're not.
They could be playing the circle game.
No, because right now the kids...
Racist don't play the circle game?
No. I'm telling you, high schoolers right now are the most woke of any era. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, they are the most accepting. Kids these days are not as racist as what they were 30, 40,
kids,
50, 60 years ago. These kids, I'm telling you, they're just playing a fucking game so they can punch each other in the arm. Like they've always done the last 30 years.
Well, I would feel better if somebody assured me from the school,
I
Brandon.
I hate the fact that we're just giving people this sign. It's theirs now. It's theirs now.
Well, you know what's funny about it is, not just with the circle, but the way we label people racists or we're so quick to do that. And yet, you know, here the lesson has been the reverse, that you don't judge someone based on minimal information or prejudge someone. And yet we do it. If it's the right person, you just go, racist! Boom! Upside down circle.
Doesn't Trump do the upside down? Oh, no, he does the right side up circle.
Well, that's what it was originally supposed to be, like this hoax. The original, like up.
Yeah, they have the hoax wrong.
Right, they do.
It's supposed to be the regular okay sign.
What is this song?
Al Green.
Oh.
What is this song, Brandon?
School Days.
Oh.
Hi, you've reached Jackie McGowey.
I don't feel bad. I want
anybody who's going to answer right now.
Well, the administrators.
Okay, let's see if we can try them.
All the administrators in this.
I mean, doesn't anything cool ever happen here?
Exactly.
They all sound like young women, the administrators of the school.
Up in the morning.
Hey, did you guys? Are you going to watch? Well, all right, by tomorrow you will have watched All in the Family and the Jeffersons.
Yeah, I didn't even know this was happening until this morning. I'm thoroughly excited, and I don't know why.
It's live TV, too. So.
Yeah, I know. Is it really the Jeffersons? Like, is it?
Yeah.
Not the characters.
Isn't Sherman Hemsley dead?
No. Everybody.
They said Jamie Foxx is playing
Oh,
Sherman?
I'm out.
Jamie
Never
Fox.
Mind.
What? No.
I don't want to see Jamie Foxx's... George Jefferson.
Well, how else are they going to do it? It's Woody Harrelson as Archie.
With a hologram.
And Marissa Tomei as Edith. The hologram.
Oh, that sounds terrible,
that's a
though.
No, that's a great idea.
Now that I'm just learning about it, it sounds dumb.
They should put it on tour.
The inventor of the hologram, by the way, checked in on Ronnie James Dio and he goes, it's so realistic.
Okay.
Who's playing, what's her name? Flo? Who is their the
Wanda Sykes. Oh, the housekeeper.
Wheezy. Wanda Sykes is Wheezy.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who's, what's the...
Edith is
Marissa
Tomei. Yeah.
Or she went on to 227, what was her name? The housekeeper of the Jeffersons. She was real. She was really sassy.
Is this tomorrow night, Trudy?
It's tonight.
It's... Layla? Wait. It'll be last night tomorrow when we're...
Well, that's confusing.
...hearing about all this. It's Wednesday.
Oh.
Marla Gibbs.
Yeah. What was the character's name?
Florence Johnson.
It was Flo, okay.
Wisecracking.
Yeah, she's sexy.
Ike Barinholtz plays Meathead?
Yeah.
That'll be good.
That's good. Oh, here's the whole list.
Yeah.
I think the idea is to get the content out there to see this is what kind of stuff was addressed in the 70s, which, by the way, you can't even touch today. Even though, you know, All in the Family had a warning before it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
There were some heavy issues on All in the Family. And honestly, All in the Family was a pretty outstanding portrayal of how a lot of people were. And a lot of people related to it, or they related to someone, you know, maybe it was their neighbor.
Which it wasn't supposed to be that way originally. It was supposed to be a mirror held up to those people. Instead, they accepted it because they identified with Archie.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, there were two schools of, you know, fans. And Norman Lear
is surprised by the
brilliance behind it. And actually, we interviewed him a couple of years ago, and he's 85. He's 96.
He's involved in this.
And he's still, like, so sharp and so cool and so good and funny.
No, you know, what I think...
Got the hots for him.
Well, yeah,
I
get a room.
I just appreciate that.
I'm just kidding.
Sorry. It's all yours.
Just loose skin and old balls.
What, you know, we talked about this. I feel so old when I say things like this. But when All in the Family came out, you had that, thinking specifically of Meathead and Sally Struthers, the daughter. Mm. Meathead was the son-in-law. There were so many people whose kids were normal buzz-cut kids, and then when the Vietnam War started being protested, and everybody started smoking pot, and youth culture was born with the Beatles and the Stones and the rock music of the day, which was just exploded like nobody's business. People changed overnight. Kids who were headed for buzz-cut lives in black and white were suddenly had long-ass hair and Fu Manchus, and they were going to concerts, and they were getting high and
protesting.
And Meathead was that kind of kid that, you know, he had become Sally Struthers' character.
The meat wagon.
And the parents were just like, what happened to my child?
Right.
Whereas nowadays, if your kid is a heroin addict, you give them money to go get more heroin so they won't be sick.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I mean, it's real. I mean, that is so. When I started watching Intervention, I was like, wait, this really happens? This is really going on? People give their kids money for drugs so they won't be sick? As opposed to back then when it was like, you asshole, I'm locking you in your room for a week.
Or out, out, out,
yeah, out. Yeah, a lot of people got kicked out.
Yeah. In fact, I was watching 1969 last night, and it was the Woodstock episode.
Oh, I started watching it, and I fell asleep.
69.
Yeah, Woodstock is, anything on Woodstock is fascinating. It's just incredible.
The guy who put that together, it reminds me of how they put together Fire Festival, except it actually happened.
Yeah. Yes.
Because they were sort of like, oh, man, we ran out of money.
Yes.
Started off in the wrong field.
And it's a free concert because people are busting through the fences and climbing over, and we don't have enough security, and we don't have anybody to take all their money anyway. So it's a free concert. Was it Wavy Gravy that made the announcement?
Yeah.
It's a free concert, man.
But the kind of the best part was John Fogerty talking about it, and he goes, the helicopter was bringing us over, and we're kind of going up the side of a hill. There's grass and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, he looks out, and it's a million people.
Flew in on a helicopter.
I mean, can you imagine?
Good morning. What we have in mind is breakfast in bed for $400,000.
Yeah.
There's Wavy.
Now, it's not going to be steak and eggs or anything, but it's going to be good food, and we're going to get it to you. It's not just the hog farm either. It's like the Ojai Mountain family and the pranksters and everybody else that has volunteered and put in their time into
so
the three
high.
Kitchens. In fact, it's everybody. We're all feeding each other.
Whoa.
We must be in heaven, man.
There's Alan Fay.
There's always a little bit of heaven in a disaster area.
How come no one ever found Alan Fay?
So if you want to make it back to your campsites, we'll try and get the food to you. Or if you're staying here, we'll try and get the food to you.
I love
you.
The announcer now, who is looking for Alan Fay because he has a speech impediment. And then there's a guy. There's Mr. Oh, wait.
Wavy the brown acid?
Got a little stuff left. And for you people that still believe that, you know, capitalism isn't that weird, you might help him out and buy a couple of hamburgers.
Nice.
There's a split screen from the movie. And on the one side, when he's talking about getting places, there's a car with like eight people sleeping on top of the car.
Here's the mess call. Forgot about this dude.
Trumpeter's not the best.
He's laughing while he's doing it.
He's tripping balls.
Probably. Hopefully.
And there's so there's wavy gravy. There's speech impediment guy. Alan Fay, please report to the ticket stand. Alan Fay. And then there's a guy who's like, there's some acid that is particularly bad. The brown acid is bad.
Don't eat the brown acid.
And it is just...
To get back to the warning that I've received, you may take it with however many grains of salt you wish, that the brown acid that is circulating around us is not specifically too good.
Not specifically too
it's
good.
It's suggested that you do stay away from that. Of course, it's your own trip, so be my guest. But please be advised that there is a warning on that one.
What
okay?
A passive warning.
I know. It's bad acid.
Wow.
It's bad acid, man. It was bad acid. And they had trip tents, and, you know, they were relatively prepared, but they were prepared for 125,000, not 400,000. And if you wanted to drive there, you had to abandon your car 4 or 5 miles outside and walk.
What happened to all their cars, though? Could they, I mean, at the end of it, did they all just go back to their cars?
That's a great question, because I always wonder that, like, are their cars still sitting there from Woodstock that no one ever found? Did people go home and go, I lost the car, Dad, I'm sorry.
Well, we were there. We didn't see a big long line of rusted out 60s vehicles.
No. Apparently, they've all been picked up or taken away.
What if they just, like, tripped and saw the show and then wandered back out and found their car and drove off?
I think that's what most people did. That was what was so amazing about Woodstock was that somehow everybody came together and it all worked out, man. And if you saw the TV movie they had a few years ago, the townspeople, you know, furiously made sandwiches and went out and got supplies, and they somehow managed to feed people. I just don't know how people stayed. Well, I wonder how they got alcohol, those people, because it seems like you'd want some. Some brewskis.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if they were prepared for that.
I don't know. But it actually was one of those things. It was just kismet. It just all came together.
Yeah, it did work.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if this is the right thing to do, but I want to respond to Buzzword. What's the matter, Brandon? Buzzboard.
Nothing. Good luck. There's no winning.
After reading the Buzzboard string on the Drew and Mike show yesterday and finding out I'm a has-been, I was a little distressed to find out there was a new string of comments today.
Shocked.
I know. And Radio Buzzboard, never go to Radio Buzzboard if you're in radio, because it's the most negative place in the world, as I mentioned.
I hate you!
The first time I went there, I thought, oh my God, my career's over! It's probably the year 2000 or something, and it was like, I can't believe there's a bunch of negativity. Oh my God, everything's turning on me. It was like your house, Judy.
When your house turned on. Smash your face in.
And
the two words, though, that stood out to me that they use over and over again. Retired radio person. All disgruntled retired radio people.
Well, there's definitely a lot of people
suck
in the business on Buzzboard. Mm. And they do seem to be a little bitter. But... I feel the need to read them. I don't know why. Hopefully this will be the last time, possibly ever.
Unlikely.
Buzzboard on Drew and Mike. The new string started this last night at 10:07, so somebody listened to the podcast, boom, right when it was posted.
Why does Drew read the Buzzboard? It's a toxic cesspool.
It is. Drew read some posts on today's podcast. It was hilarious. Mocked cowboy. It's funny to hear in what low regard most of your idiotic posts are held.
Oh, that's not entirely Drew.
That leads
cowboy,
to
cowboy. By the way,
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Yesterday's headline was it Drew and Mike has-beens or something?
I don't know.
Boring radio.
Yeah. So the headline is on every post. So I kept reading that headline over and over, and it's really distressing. The next post is, I had a conversation with a Mancow's former agent. What are Mancow's former agents? How many former agents does Mancow have?
This guy knows one.
If Drew's listenership is anything like his, Drew would be lucky to have any Buzzboarders as listeners. I would love to compare unique users between his site and his podcast.
Get out of here. I see what he's saying. Yeah.
What is he saying?
If there's a Venn diagram of Buzzboard participants and listeners of the show. Like, how much crossover is there? But we know.
I think there's very little, actually, because the Buzzboard comments.
But there's a few.
generally, the more someone complains about the show, the less I take them seriously, because we can go back to, what's his name, Farini?
Thomas
Farini, the guy who literally stalked me for years, especially at 105.1. Anything about 105.1, he would complain about me. And he always bitched because we had White Boy Rick on the show.
Yeah.
Well, if this guy hated the show as much as he did, and we deep dove on him, isn't he a librarian somewhere?
Pennsylvania, maybe. I don't know.
He went to the University of Michigan. Dearborn.
But didn't we think that that was a fake profile?
Well, that.
You had suspicions.
I had suspicions that it was someone on the inside because they let two things slip. That's like, nah, how do they know that? Or they knew somebody who worked there.
The White Boy Rick thing. Okay, we had White Boy Rick on twice, which, by the way, was extremely topical. A movie and a documentary made of it.
Yeah, and popular and interesting.
And I thought, okay, if this guy complains so much that White Boy Rick destroyed 105.1, he must have been listening a lot because he was on twice in 2.5 years. How could he have heard so much White Boy Rick? I mean, really, the two times he tuned in, he heard White Boy Rick?
Yes.
Come on. Okay, next post. Mancow, whatever.
But by the way, that previous guy also links it to a part on our page that is the About Us page.
Really?
Which has nothing on it because none of us have ever written anything because we don't care to write anything about us.
I kind
of
want
to update the page and just write under About Us, just write, just listen to the show. You'll find out all about us. Why do you need to read it?
Every once in a while we bring that up. Hey, should we fill that portion of the website out?
And we go, yeah, we should. And then no one does.
Next post, Manco, another radio loser and a has-been.
Yeah, I'm sure Manco's doing terrible now.
Yeah. Buzzboard on Drew and Mike. Next post. Can you, tell us what posts and who posted them? Don't leave us hanging. Next post is Mark. The sport has a lot of radio has-beens. It's like a retirement home for radio people. Okay, guys, don't forget about Thursday night bingo and the Friday night ice cream social. And don't forget dinner is served at 5 p.m. By 7 p.m., you must return to your rooms for the evening. Definitely a message board for old radio people.
Jeez.
Next. The discussion about the board starts at the 31-minute mark and goes on for over 25 minutes. N.W. Metalhead got a mention. What, so these guys are happy to be mentioned in the...
really?
Does that...
Wow.
So then...
I know, it's such a has-been podcast.
Oh. And M.W. Metalhead pops... Yeah, why would you care if you're mentioned on a has-been podcast? M.W. Metalhead pops right in. Interesting. What did he say? It's nice he reads the site. Evidently, frequently. No. 25 minutes?
Evidently.
25 minutes of discussion, Jesus. Then again, he and Mike used to spend that much time or more playing audio from lame MTV reality shows while providing their own commentary. Long-duration segments like that one are the reason I could never get into their WRAF show. Well, then, if he knows it was over 25 minutes, why was he listening to the whole duration of it?
Yeah.
Oh, he shot that argument down.
Suspicious, MW Metalhead. Drew's been talking about the buzz board for years. Frequently he mentions how negative everyone is here. Oh, yeah. He still does long segments on reality TV, but the podcast is still mostly pretty damn good. I love the little fast-forward button on my phone for the occasional unlistenable, to me, parts of the show.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, he sounds reasonable.
I think he's reasonable.
I'm not going to like everything. That's fine.
Would you say doing long segments on reality TV is one of the...
Staples? No.
The staples of the show? No.
There isn't really a staple, is there? Except
well, there
that everybody's
plenty of staples,
no,
but
sort of disingenuous.
If you took the 60 hours of the month,
yeah,
okay, there's what 720 hours of programming a year or something in it, 700 hours, something like that. Mm-hmm. We probably spend an hour on The Bachelor, an hour and a half, maybe.
Would you consider it a benchmark?
No, I would not.
Well, so that's three segments if they're all 25 minutes.
It's a hate watch.
Yes.
It's not
funny.
No one's promoting The Bachelor. It's making fun of it. If you maybe you like The Bachelor and you're hurt by that. If so, I'm sorry.
Whoa, you're angry.
This post.
Sorry, not sorry.
Says there's a lot of negative people in here, a lot of retired radio snobs.
That's the same guy with the whole retirement community one.
Next post, podcast is good. I don't understand why people on here bitch and complain about the 2 or 4 hours on the weekend that the cast is on an OTA, on terrestrial.
Over the air.
Over the air. Are you really that put out by not having music for those time periods? No, I don't.
Thank you.
I love you too that much also.
You know what? There is some connection to going on radio and finding these trolls back in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Because with the podcast, this is probably why I like it so much. You have to make an effort to listen to it. The people listening to podcasts have been listening for a long time. They like the show. And frankly, I never dreamed we would average, what did we have, 151,000 downloads the last week?
The first week of this month, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's great.
I didn't think we could do that.
I'm blown away by it.
I love you too that much also.
Okay, here's Mark again. Question. If Drew is that great, why is the show limited to podcasts? Answer. Because he's a has-been.
What?
Oh, you're all angry now.
First of all, it's not limited to podcasts. It's on WLZ now, so...
He knows, though. He knows what's been offered to you.
Yeah, well...
After all, is he the same guy that talked to Mankow's former agent, or is it a different
guy?
Yes,
he talked to Mankow's former agent.
Well, he knows, Mark. We don't know what he knows.
By the way, this 25 minutes guy, I'd like to examine 25 minutes.
Boy, you're really stuck on that one.
Work day. What's this guy? Let's break his day into 25-minute units, and I'll examine them and see what he's doing and how valuable it is, dick.
Get your forensic accountant out there.
Absolutely. Okay. Next. Has-been. Boy, people like that term, has-been. Why do people...
It's because it's hilarious.
And you know what? The fact that he says this would indicate that he's really knowledgeable about the show, but if he doesn't, if I'm such a has-been, why is he listening to the show so much to know that I'm a has-been? He wouldn't know, because he wouldn't listen.
Right.
Is there anything to be said? Oh, because it's a podcast. Okay. Radio is a has-been. It's a dying medium. Over 75% of people know what a podcast is, and over 50% listen to one at least weekly, and the numbers keep going up every year. Drew is way ahead of the curve. Who is this guy?
Yay.
Maybe he's not a has-been. He currently works in the industry.
Drew is way ahead of the curve, creating his own network. Well, I'm into this guy. I agree. I'm ahead of the curve.
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm a forerunner.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm a social media maven.
Early adapter.
Going to be followed by another positive comment, I'm sure.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Drew Mike Podcast. We need to change that name.
Max, are you going to do Drew Mike? You mean on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're the first to also have a show that features two dogs who sometimes erupt.
That's true.
It's
part of the humanity of the show.
Radio hates pets.
Okay, wait, who's this? Yeah. So prove your stats.
It's the same guy.
Remember to keep an eye on your battery and data usage. Radio is and always will be a strong platform. What do you prove your stats? Remember to
keep
an eye.
Could be somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds, okay?
Your battery and data usage. What, listening to the podcast?
Wait, first off.
Is he talking to people listening?
I guess. Data usage, that's a concern of maybe 10 years ago. How many people do you know that have unlimited data now?
I don't ever.
Wireless.
Anyone. I read so much email. No one ever says, oh my God, my data usage and my battery.
Telecom companies are so competitive that it's becoming so much cheaper and, you know, they're rolling out. It's
maybe that guy has a flip phone.
Mark.
A flip. Jitterbug?
And lives in the 80s.
Mark King is a has-been buzzboard poster. Get with it, Mark. Come on. Nobody complains
it's
about
gonna
that.
It's going to come at you 10 times harder now.
Hi, Mark.
You're going to join Thomas Farini? Is Thomas
Farini?
It's
him.
I wonder what the latest is from Thomas Farini.
I haven't seen anything.
He's disappeared?
I don't find nothing.
I wonder if he is inside.
We're waiting for you to talk about White Boy Rick so we can listen again.
Yeah.
For the third time.
Some of you guys sound like old bitter curmudgeons. Did it ever dawn on you that Drew has the best of both worlds now? Huh? Why would he ever want to go back to radio is beyond me. He's building up his network. Yeah, damn right. He's his own boss.
This your
makes, he makes the rules. He works at home. He gets to swear, cuss, whatever, without the FCC guys
great
interfering.
Guy.
He has a hell of a lot of listeners that he reaches. I'm sure you guys only wish you could have thought of something like this.
He's also a great person.
The poster is Lane 69. Guy.
I did not think of podcasting, by the way. This kind of came along before I thought of it, but I'll take it.
Lane 69.
If he had a...
That one doesn't make sense. Go to the next page.
All right. Oh, there's another page?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I told you, the smart guy won't let it go.
Oh, he's still in play on the next page?
Well, he's got to respond to the whole FCC. And the thing about swearing, and this is going to kind of, you know, rebut what you're about to read from him, is it's not about the seven words. It's that you don't have to worry about entendre. You don't have to worry about
subject matter.
Yeah, things that get bleeped. And it's just you have a freedom to express whatever you want, too. No pressure from, you know, certain groups or advertisers.
Okay, so yeah, here he is back. Has-been buzzboard poster Mark.
Because we all know swearing is cool. Look at the king of all media, Howard Stern. He swears and he's cool. Yeah, right. Oh, I know. Stern's doing terrible.
And is his book number one yet?
Should be.
I'm sure it is.
Probably.
And then he follows his own post? Oh, no, someone else posts, someone's bitter.
Da, 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 da.
And then he comes back with, not bitter, it's just fact.
What's a fact?
What the, yeah, right?
Or that he's cool? That is the opinion.
Okay, this is
right.
A new person. They were just reading posts and commenting on them. It was funny. I'm biased, though. I'm a listener. Well, you are.
Thank
good
you,
for
TiVo
you.
King. Although I challenge you to a TiVo off.
TiVo King posts again. Well, they must be making decent money with advertisers because no one has lost their house after being gone from 105.1 radio for 3 or 4 years. Drew's case, many houses.
Whoa! Well, la-di-da.
Oh, here comes Mark again.
Uh-oh.
I don't know these people and their financial situation, but the podcasts are not that lucrative. Obviously, they're making money from other sources like flipping homes or whatever. Not from a dime a dozen podcast.
Wait,
do I have to show this guy a financial statement from 2018? We're making some money, dick.
I will say that
I don't know shit. What are you talking about?
I had that other job for, 2 years before? You know, I quit that job. I'm only working with the Red Shovel.
Start flipping houses like I am.
Yeah.
It's great.
Good God, what is his problem? Why does he keep posting? We're a has-been show.
By the way, Stern's book debuted number one, so he's a loser, man.
Yeah, right.
Number one on Amazon and New York Times.
It debuted number one.
Yeah.
Then someone comes back and says, I'm sure you know exactly how much they're making on the cast. Huh? For your information, the revenue stream is quite high, enough to pay salaries. I don't think you quite grasp the impact podcasts have.
Yeah!
Mr. Transistor says, bottom line, you can't say you like the podcast or have anything good to say because someone on here will poo-poo shoot it down. No difference of opinions allowed!
Yeah, Mr. Transistor.
Apparently, opinions on the board can only be one-sided, especially if you know one's financial situation. I guess my financial situation is still secret, at least I hope so. Drew read my comment! Mark King, you have a mouthful of uninformed sour grapes!
Ooh, not sour grapes, just a fact.
Mike Max, so Drew's your new hero, I take it. Oh, so he's getting busted for liking me too much.
You're not allowed to like anything.
Admiring Drew's business acumen and on-air talent doesn't mean he's a hero of anyone. He's a good broadcaster. That doesn't mean he doesn't have faults or quirks that people don't like. I guess you're right. Can't say anything nice on here.
Mm.
And then this is the final post. Oh, thank God. Did we go over 25 minutes today? I hope we didn't upset this guy.
Well over that.
Talking about anything is really about nothing on the radio for 3 hours is great radio. Sounds like Seinfeld, a show about nothing. It doesn't take much to amuse people today, does it?
I'm kind of sorry he's so sour grapes about this.
What does Chuck mean by that?
It sounded like a compliment.
He's the one who started the last thread that you were talking about.
It sounded like a compliment for a second.
He's the one that said Drew and Mike is boring radio.
Oh, him.
Yeah, he doesn't like you.
Well, he's got a high level of entertainment.
Oh. Well, I do want to know.
Lowbrow for him.
Well, I want to know what is entertaining to some of them then. I would love to hear.
Nice to see you again, Mr. Insult.
How long did he listen to find out it was boring?
3 hours.
Oh, the Wheels show. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. He meant the WLZ show. It was boring.
How dare he?
But that's the point I was going to make. When you're doing a podcast and you have all this love from your own little world and people who come to the podcast and they download it regularly and they listen like, they listen like crazy.
And they interact constantly.
Yeah, no, it's great. We hear from people all the time. We've done events. People show up. Then you go on WLZ and all of a sudden you get the people who just turn the radio on and they're not your hardcore, P1s as they call them. And the buzzles are called P1s. They're not P1s. And so they... All of a sudden, you got people who maybe kind of like you, don't like you, love you, didn't know you were doing a podcast. What I mean, they're all across the board. I mean, you're dealing with the general public, which if you ever answered a request line, the general public is all over the place.
Yes.
So that's why. But we got another string on Buzzboard. I guess we're mildly relevant. I'll take it.
Just don't read it tomorrow.
No, he totally will.
Well, I kind of want to see if there's a new string.
He totally will.
Oh, you're getting sucked in.
Why do you put yourself through it? It's a toxic cesspool.
It is.
Do you think Lauren likes my impersonation of him? Hi, Lauren.
It's pretty toxic.
You gotta pay the troll toll. If you wanna get into that boy's hole, you gotta pay the troll toll to get in. You want the baby boy's hole, you gotta pay the troll toll. You gotta pay the troll toll to get in. Troll toll.
What you say?
Troll toe.
Hey, hey, hey.
Troll toe.
Can I show you two videos, Drew?
Two videos?
Yeah.
of...
One, Brandon, is on. I just retweeted something that I want to show you guys. And then another one is, did you see the big police chase?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Los Angeles yesterday?
Yeah. Awesome.
No doubt. One of the best.
Aside from the tank guy.
It's an RV.
Which was phenomenal.
It was. And
did you see it, Trudy?
I didn't. I saw Twitter. Oh, Twitter was a Twitter.
Play-by-play is just fantastic.
It might have been cool. The guy was pushing his knowledge of RVs. What's a fiberglass? What's a fiberglass front of the RV that's so easily came off there? And some of the others are fiberglass. I don't know how long he's going to be able to stay in this.
He really was.
This was
and
wild.
Then he's saying, he's at a high rate of speed, and those brakes are starting to cook on that RV. I don't know if he'll be able to make the turn here.
He was spectacular.
What is he? Did they bring in an RV expert for the chase?
Yeah, he just happened to be in the chopper at the time.
One of the biggest things in the chase was the dog jumping out of the window.
Dog's
which
fine.
Was like, oh my God, the dog! Dog's
couldn't okay. believe it!
The second dog jumped out when she crashed the final time, and that dog was limping. It's like, oh my God, the dog is limping! Who cares about anything else? And
watch this part. This is
What?
Can we turn up the audio? Yeah, that's what. Let's check this guy. Turn it up.
Tree took off the whole front of the motorhome. Just took off the whole front there. You know, these motorhomes are only made of fiberglass, and now he's out on the Tampa, southbound Tampa.
The whole side of that thing is gone.
Mr.
Nice.
RV, listen to this guy.
Front end right off this thing.
By the way, he calls a driver a man constantly. Yeah. It's a chick. He's sexist!
I'm an excellent driver.
Vehicle. You see it dumping a bunch of papers, probably out of a storage bin that was up
God,
on
you know
the
so much about that.
What is he talking about?
A storage bin?
And you just knew it was full of papers?
Because of that,
this was wild.
Crank this guy a little bit.
So right
how
now
fast is it going? Like 40?
As he goes.
Coming up here, he's blocked.
He's in traffic.
Uh oh.
And he's going to shove his way through.
Oh, he just lost his mirror, if nothing else.
Just shove his way through.
And there he goes, through the intersection.
I want to get in that thing and just drive it right away. Do you mind?
It starts flying pretty good a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
It's picking up some speed.
Hauling ass.
Just a helicopter view of this giant RV that's already wrecked in front.
Every time he turns, excuse me, she turns
Whoa.
Right. I don't know if it's water or gasoline starts pouring out.
Maybe it's probably the toilet.
Yeah. What do they call that? Gray water or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised
water.
This guy doesn't
Heads
know.
Up.
The front there was holding the windshield in and just pulling out the
swerving.
Windshield itself.
He's going to make his brakes comment coming up.
Through traffic here as we continue on. Coming up the next intersection, through that intersection.
No problem.
Yeah, I'm trying to get up here so we can see that windshield.
Look at that windshield.
And
there
so
isn't
we can
one.
See here, you can see it's all ripped up here as best you can see.
Wow.
And you can see the curtain kind of just flowing
Shut
in the
up.
Wind. I'm not seeing anybody else in the motorhome. We're not hearing of any
occupants
other than the driver. Oh, around
Whoa.
That car right there.
Whoa.
They almost clipped him as he came through.
Bumper is hanging on by a thread.
A very heavily traveled here.
That's what I'm going to drive.
Wow, look at her thread the needle.
As he comes up here, he's going to run that curb right through the intersection. The guy, make a left turn side coming.
Oh.
Was able to avoid him. So
you have to root for the driver, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of.
Hell yeah.
Everything she hits is insured.
I just want the chase to keep going.
The driver right there, and then that whole roof line is now just wiggling in the breeze because he's taking all the support. Now making a turn.
Not a good turn radius.
Look at this.
Coming to a back stop, up, back backing up. Backing up, trying
a
to get 3-point
turn with an RV.
Go, go.
Nah, he's going to get back southbound.
Be free, be free.
Go.
Not to go that way. So right now back here southbound Tampa. So like I said, stolen motorhome from what we understand. Came out of the Antelope Valley area by sheriffs.
Now the dog is hanging out the front window.
That dog wants
CHP
out of there, man.
Yes.
One tight squeeze and that dog's head's coming off.
Kind of looking there really tight. But they're not
like
really
a pit
sure.
Ball.
I haven't seen it pop around. Yeah, Josh says
how
he
fast
can
you
see
she's
the,
going there?
Peeling off and going underneath.
50.
Why does a woman and her dog heist an RV?
Two dogs.
Yeah, they want to go camping, Trudy.
One dog did
make his
brakes leave her side.
Yeah, dog's chasing her when she runs out of the thing.
One dog was a good boy.
Oh, just right between those cars, through the red light, nearly hit it. Now let's come out wide and keep a shot here as we work our way to this next intersection.
You need to get the sound that he has in the background. So it sounds like we're always in a chopper.
As we continue south on
get rid of that sound.
Yeah, tell him directed the cameraman here has asked him to zoom out.
Our way down.
He does have that kind of a nasally
he has not really
thing going on.
Into somebody. He has clipped other vehicles along the way, but right now... just keeping an eye on him as he comes down green
Uh-oh.
Light through this intersection.
Oh. Oof, oof, oof.
Wait till he says motorhome.
It feels like I'm playing Asteroids when you hit hyperspace and you don't know where you're going to land.
Using the turn,
you can just get whacked.
Northbound lanes here is working through, and he's going to go on the wrong side of the street to get around these vehicles. Now on the
look
right.
Out, Orkin, man.
Made it over. Back in center lane.
Wow.
Get over there.
Continuing on to next intersection on the green light here. Yeah, this completely ripped off the whole front of it there when he went through that parking lot back there off of Plumber.
Wait, don't we have to rub it in? God.
Continuing.
You know it's made of fiberglass?
Continuing on here.
It's the smallest one Detroit makes.
As we continue south on Tampa.
Those brakes are going to be cooking.
And like I said, there is a dog in there we've confirmed now.
The, we've confirmed.
There in the front, but we haven't had any information about anybody else in the motorhome. But he's on the brakes again. Coming up the intersection across traffic.
Yeah,
got a red light. He's going to punch his way through the intersection.
Really go straight?
Right through the intersection there. Luckily, everybody was able to get.
Oh, no.
Oh, what?
Oh,
no. Oh my God.
Oh, man.
He's really been driving
we say
hard.
To let the woman drive a car is like to let a monkey fly a plane. Very dangerous. We have stopped letting monkeys fly planes ever
like this. And he's really been pushing his thing hard, so I'm sure those brakes have heated up. And cabs have glazed over, so he's not going to have much braking power as he comes
up. Yeah, as he brakes and takes a right turn. A hard right.
Westbound on the bus lane.
Whoa.
Into the side there as he goes around. There's the lost control as he went around.
Yeah, what about those cooking brakes you were talking about there?
Top hand is a street, but that little area right there to the right of him is the orange line, bus line that runs through the valley here.
No one cares.
Apparently, those brakes aren't cooking as much as I anticipated.
Copaiga. As we work our way through here.
Oh, come on.
Go forward to where the dog comes out.
Oh, it's coming up in like.
Oh.
You want me to fast forward to that point?
Well,
it's about a minute away.
Fast forward?
Yeah,
will
go
it
ahead.
Look like it's going faster?
Just don't miss the crash.
Board looking out that open front window. Now, big, heavy, wide left turn here. Rolling around, hitting the curb.
Yeah, see the dog?
Oh,
the dog says,
touch the curb.
Jump out.
Be free.
The RV stopped because the dog jumped out.
I would have stopped. I would have gotten out and got the dog, brought it back in.
What's up, dog?
Now, the other dog's thinking about doing it, too.
Yeah.
I got one question for all of you. Who let the dogs out?
He's going to make another turn here.
Yeah, what about those cooking brakes?
You
make that turn
out. You're not going to let him live down that brake.
Oh, that's bullshit. And a three-point turn, an RV that is completely trashed. Just making a three-point turn.
Well, look at that. What kind of dog is
crashes
that?
Crashes into the cop car.
It's a cop car going in reverse.
Into the police car. Make a U-turn.
It's a great ad for the RV.
Yeah, turning radius is impressive there. I should mention that.
Man, you know, as we're talking about this, Inside Edition has footage, too. They have ground footage of it.
He's driving by.
I gotta say that the turning radius was quite impressive. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier.
Corbin is where he just made that U. That was Corbin, and he's now on top hand.
It was Corbin. Wow. Oh, we got all the cell phone views now?
That's crazy, yeah.
Oh, this is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Got to show the dog jumping out again.
No. Well, we have the news on one TV and the actual chase on another.
I know, this is
another.
Exciting.
Oh, no, there's the dog.
What's up, dog?
Here, you see. Working his
the
way
dog
along.
Could Bye. Not get away from that RV fast.
Okay, heads up. Major intersection activity coming up. Heads up.
Now. Continuing on here, eastbound Victory.
And is this where the other car hits it?
It's coming up.
Oh, that last car.
He tries to predict it, too. He sees it coming, I think.
And I'm right behind you now.
The RV or the other car?
The announcer.
As he works his way here on Victory.
Oh, there's the other dog.
He gets really worked up when he goes under the overpass.
There's another dog.
Why? Because he can't see it.
In the windshield there earlier. Oh, just right around. Let's get a little wider as we go through those intersections. You can see right there.
I'm talking to the cameraman
Tampa.
For those of you who don't know so
as
much about the industry. And I'm flying this chopper
man,
as
look at the damage on that motorhome. Just completely ripped off the
oh,
right
get
side.
Get over it. Do you think she cares?
Now making a turn southbound Tampa.
That's got to be at least $30,000 damage on that RV.
Motorhome.
Good ad for the RV,
so,
though.
Yeah, that's going to be a long visit for the adjuster.
I know. I paused the Inside Edition story so you can see the driver, which, you know, that's nice. And the dog is sitting next to her, like, yeah, She didn't do anything wrong.
That's cool.
Oh, just so sweet. But he had
had enough of it. I don't know where the next dog. Big event is. Look at him. So,
I'm going to say we're up to $35,000 damage on that RV. Turning radio still working pretty nicely. So we'll see. Just jump a little bit forward.
The 101.
Oh,
back it up.
I missed where the big crash
I think
was.
This is it right here.
Wait, we missed the black car crash.
Yeah.
What? That's racist.
Anyways, we continue on here going north up into the hills. The dog's trying to get out again.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Up into the residential.
What's up, dog?
Heads up.
No.
Every time he goes by a street, oh,
look at the beautiful tree you said RV is going under.
To quit chasing this guy because the way he's driving, he
oh, knock it off. Keep chasing her.
Coming up to a T intersection here.
Oh, he's going to throw off the side. Oh, that's the end right there. What is she doing? She just ran off the road on a curve.
He's into a tree. Well, we came straight up Tampa.
Where,
that RV might be totaled by now.
Oh, the dog's on my information. The dog got thrown that far?
There's two dogs.
Oh, he's look at the, on foot running.
Look at the dog limping after her.
She's got terrible dogs, form, Mark. By the way, running, don't you think?
Mark,
yeah, she does.
At this point, Mark, there's only one dog.
Yeah.
So watch what happens.
They're calling the ground units off to quit chasing this guy.
I assume it's that good boy.
He is completely smashed into that car. Coming up to a T intersection here.
Watch how far the dog gets thrown. Boom. The dog gets thrown all the way out here.
Wow, man.
Tell that cameraman to zoom out.
See? There's the dog.
Dog's fine.
Came straight up Tampa.
What's up, dog?
The Ventura. Not sure. We're still on Tampa.
Oh, God. I know. He never turned off Tampa. Look at that terrible form. Pump your arms.
Oh, look at the dog got up limping to chase after the owner.
Dog's running with him.
By the way, guy doesn't apologize to the male gender for his assuming it was a guy driving the whole time.
He's jumping over the fence. LAPD's got him and throws him down. Excellent. CHP in custody. Outstanding work, boys.
What you looking at? He's running.
Right. Here, pop this up real quick. I want to see what they say about.
At street level, you can see smoking wreckage. Now look, she's got a second dog in the vehicle. This
dog is the story.
But the chase comes to an explosive halt when the woman smashes into a car.
Oh,
there she goes, fleeing on foot. And her dog is right with her.
This is such a bizarre pursuit.
But so are the cops. She's busted. Her faithful dog still at her side.
You can still see the debris
edition
from the
got right.
Violent crash.
She looks fine,
his
too.
Brick post is still knocked over. And one curious note, you see dozens of plastic knives just strewn about the street.
What does that
KCAL
mean?
Reporter Tina Patel tweeted
the
this
video. Broken leg.
Look at the dog in a cast.
With two of its legs in casts. This could have been horrible.
It could have been. And you saw how could've reckless that driver was.
So who is the woman?
Yes.
Cops say her name is Julie Rainbird. She's 52 years old. Now she'll be known as the woman who put the wreck in recreational view.
Oh, Inside Edition just smoked that story.
Give Les Trent an Emmy.
Oh, man, that poor dog. Did you
that
see,
was beautiful.
It only showed the one dog with two broken legs. What happened to the other dog?
It's running for its freedom still.
Yeah. Good boy.
Wow, what a great story. Do you have the other video, the one I retweeted? I didn't really care to retweet. I just thought it was the quickest way to get it to you.
Oh.
It's a farmer. I guess he's working at a dairy farm, and there's some cows.
Oh,
let's
see. There you go.
Oh, cows.
What's going on?
So
cows going to be having sex or something?
No. So that cow lifts his tail, is walking away, and this guy's like, "Hey, where you going, man? Come back here."
Oh.
And it projectile suffocates about 10 feet right on him.
How do they aim?
And the guy that posted it said, "I didn't even stand a chance. Direct line of fire. Typical Monday."
How did they aim?
Look at how far he shot his feet.
He has a security camera, so if the dog does
the cow
projectile dump on him.
Look at that. Yeah, right in his head.
Oh my God. It's like he planned it.
Oh, you think?
His reflexes are pretty quick, though. He turned his head really fast.
Oh, slow motion.
To his credit, the farmer there apparently expecting a possible projectile fecal matter.
Probably
out of that cow. Apparently he's done that before.
It's probably the second best poo-related video of the day.
No, that one is fake. The other
you
one
think
is,
so?
Yeah, I do. I don't believe that.
What was the first?
I do not believe that.
I'll play it for you real
really?
Quick.
Really?
It's short.
It doesn't sound like you.
You don't believe it's...
No, I just was not buying... This is so dumb. I mean, think of what this guy is trying to say.
I know, but he...
Really.
I don't think he's just going to all touch shit before.
No, I've never shitted in a tissue before.
You touch shit every single day if you shit. Like, you don't wipe yourself? It got shit in the tissue when you wipe yourself.
You don't know how to get the... Why are you touching the shit? The tissue is for the shit.
That's what I'm saying. You grab shit
No, you're
tissue.
Not saying that. You don't. Yeah, you
You're
wipe.
You wipe and you grab the shit.
You don't grab. Why are you grabbing
hold
shit?
Hold on, hold on.
Do you got so shit you stuck in your ass while
hold
you're
on,
taking?
Hold on.
Oh, her voice
are
is terrible.
You telling me that y'all just let the doodle fall in the toilet? Y'all don't catch it every time?
What? I am about to leave, bro.
How do y'all take a shit? I must have seen this shit wrong.
My nigga.
I've been catching my shit all these years.
Nah, I'm more disgusted than, like, I feel like I can't continue.
What are you talking about?
I'm, my stomach
so
is
So hold
tight.
On, so y'all just sit there and shit right, come right out. No way.
I don't think he's that good of an actor.
What happens if you got the runs or something like that? Yo, what do you do then?
That shit, you wash your hands. Why do you think people wash their hands?
Yo, you shit in your hand, bro?
With tissue.
So he's saying when he takes a dump.
Catch the dump. He catches
he's an idiot.
It. Who, come on. Nobody's that dumb.
No.
There's no way. Is that,
no,
I don't
no.
know. Are you buying this guy, Trudy?
No. I think they're just, what is it? The topic of the day? No,
what
shit in your hand?
What fine show is this?
The Bully and the Beast.
Bully and the Beast, yeah. And, or, the idea that you don't understand that a toilet is made for that, you know? Because there's water there for it to land.
You're supposed to catch it and drop it in the water?
Yeah, I don't know how he was raised.
How many steps are there to crapping for this dude?
Jeez.
Oh, God. Think of, if that's true, how many times people have shaken hands with him.
Well,
they meet our morning show.
Says that's why he washes his hands. He said that's why people wash their hands.
Duh.
There is some news today. Juwan Howard apparently is going to be offered the Michigan basketball job.
5-year deal, done.
Oh, it is done?
Yep, done.
Did they say what the paycheck was?
They did not, but that it's a 5-year deal.
Okay.
I don't know when I think he's going to be announced, or they're going to have a presser tonight because Sean will be via phone for the ML podcast.
Oh, okay.
Because he's got to cover that.
ML Soul of Detroit.
But Walchuk's coming back.
Oh, Walchuk's back?
Yeah.
On?
Mm-hmm.
When's his? I thought he had a Hall of Shame on last night. I didn't see it, though. Okay. Well, there was a Nexium revelation yesterday.
There have been phenomenal Nexium stories this week because that one we've talked about a few of them. That one lady's been on the stands, the
and
daughter.
Nexium is a cult. Catherine Oxenberg's daughter, Lauren
Salzman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she's in the middle of just about everything, and she was part of that all-female, you know, within Nexium group that had all this, you know, the power to brand the new members. They
You're
didn't tell
in
them.
The cult, bro.
They just told them basically, take off all your clothes and get ready for something. And then this guy would brand Keith Raniere's initials on their below their stomach and Allison Mack's initials, too. That's the worst part. I mean, it's bad enough having a tattoo of your ex or something, but to be branded
with
the head of a cult who is such an idiot and claimed he had an IQ of 240, but actually people give him millions of dollars, which he immediately loses every time. I mean, he lost more money. He's an idiot. I would say his IQ is probably 30.
No, his IQ is, according to, was it Buddy Ebsen?
240.
Yeah. Hey,
no, not Buddy
Ebsen.
What is it? You drew and make. When he said,
Arnold.
Thank you, Drew and Mike.
Eddie Arnold. That's right.
Thank you very much, Drew and Mike. We laughed about that. We played that over 20 times and laughed harder
so
every
cute.
Time. Thank you very much, Drew and Mike.
So adorable.
It was.
So cute.
Anyway, they're talking about this, some things going on in Nexium because of the trials going on, and most people have already plead. Allison Mack even had a plea, and I think she's going to get 5 years in prison. And that was for an incident where a Mexican woman who was supposed to be a slave refused to take a naked nap with Vanguard, Keith Raniere.
Good for her.
And she was locked in a room because she refused to do it for 2 years.
Yep.
2 years locked in a room with a mattress, pencil, and paper.
Yep.
So anyway, it turns out that when this FBI bust happened, when they broke in, it was a commitment ceremony that was going on where a group of women pledged their commitment by as a group performing oral sex on Vanguard. Keith Raniere, group oral sex.
Oh. Wait, how many?
Great question. What are you trying, Trudy, are you thinking it'd be hard to get your share of the oral sex?
Well, I got to say,
it crossed my mind too. It's like, how many women can fight for your penis at once?
Well, that's good though. They're taking shifts because nobody wants to be the one.
No, and Lauren Salzman
like
complained.
Playing Russian roulette.
Lauren Salzman complained. She said, "There has to be a way I can grow that isn't this." As in meaning
you think?
BJ, yeah. And he said, "There is not."
How convincing! How
the
authentic.
Only way to grow is to have oral sex with me. And I continually am just amazed. How do you get a large group of women to act this way?
He's authentic.
I mean, I want to know. I want his playbook. I'm not sure I want to do it, but I just would like to know how he did it. I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, the idea that you can make hundreds of women do anything you want, anytime you want, it's pretty intoxicating. I'd like to know how he did it.
Because he breaks them down and just tells them what to do. And...
But he's so average looking.
I know.
It's not like
he's totally
super
average looking.
Hot or anything. You'd think that people like Matthew McConaughey or something would have big fellatio parties.
He's too busy
that's
driving
understandable.
His Lincoln.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Fellatio parties. I like that idea.
Rainbow party. Remember Rainbow?
Fellatio party this Friday night at 9 at Matthew McConaughey's. Matthew McConaughey's airtight trailer.
He probably
what
could.
Is the Airstream trailer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Keith Raniere, there's nothing. I've seen audio of this guy. I've seen video of this guy talking. There's nothing compelling about him. There's nothing interesting as far as this group sex commitment ceremony. I think I could have a bigger group commitment ceremony than he could if I knew what he was doing to get to the group ceremony. But I don't know how to get to the group ceremony.
Remember, part of it was stealing terms from Scientology and other religions. He made the women wear sashes. Oh, remember they had the whole. They all clapped at the same time before they began a meeting.
That's right.
So you just have these group activities like that, and you're in the cult.
I just,
bro.
How do you do that? How do you make people do that? I don't know. I just would never believe it was going to work. That's what I'm most impressed by, is that he thought, you know what? I'm going to get women. They're going to all, it's going to be a big group BJ for the commitment ceremony. How am I going to get that to work? Okay, I'll break them down. We'll have a big clap before every meeting. I mean, and then you have to try it with confidence. You have to absolutely, okay, there's going to be a group BJ. Everybody has to blow me. For the commitment ceremony. I mean, you have to say that credibly. That would be really hard. I don't know how you do that.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's all about that he believes it.
I know, but see, I would never believe it, so I guess I wouldn't be very successful.
So
I wouldn't
be
a very good Vanguard. But I still want to know how he did it. He could literally, think how many books he could sell.
Yeah.
If
he used his powers for good.
I had groups of women blowing me.
By Vanguard.
After they gave me all their money. How You Can Do It Too by Vanguard. Here's the secret.
How many calories a day, too?
Oh, 400 to 800. And the women were. They were all thin because he somehow convinced them that they had to be thin and they were only allowed a certain number of calories. And these girls were starving. They all complained, oh, my God, I'm so hungry. Don't eat. Don't you dare eat. Vanguard will know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that had something to do
with
it.
Am I the only one that wants to know how he did this? I'm fascinated by this. I mean, he's terrible. He's awful. I want him put away, but I still want to know how he did it.
Same with LRH.
I mean, Trudy, if you could control men, if you could have 19 men working on your house for free every day.
Oh, my God, that'd be so. I love that.
And dry chauffeuring you everywhere, giving you all their money, which you would promptly lose, and then say,
rubbing
what's your fault?
Who are you more impressed with, Vanguard or L. Ron Hubbard?
Well, L. Ron Hubbard had staying power. I mean, those people are still.
But he didn't have the
sold on L. Ron
Hubbard. Have the sex that Vanguard did.
Yeah, he was getting it on. I just don't think he was as sexual as Vanguard. If he had been, I bet he could have banged anybody in Scientology. Huh. I mean, to be banged by LRH, could there be any greater compliment?
Ugh.
Ew.
If you were a Scientologist.
Kiss that mouth. Ew.
Hey, Trudy's kind of hot.
Oh, God.
He's kind of hot. He wears that hat, too.
Hideous.
Yeah, he's the head of the Sea Org.
He'd leave his
man of the Navy outfit.
Leave
on.
His captain's hat on while you're doing it.
He runs a part of the military that nobody even talks about. They all had the sailor suits and the. By the way, how do they not get laughed at?
I mean,
you've got this group of people in Scientology on a boat pretending to be military. So, like, there's some military operation. How did people not just laugh them off the boat?
Wouldn't that be great if Trump, you know, he wanted the Space Force? What if he just did add the Sea Org, like, not knowing?
We're sending the Sea Org into Iran.
Oh, yeah.
Would, actually, that'd be kind of funny.
Scientology.
Yeah. I wish you would do that.
Oh, Lord. I don't know. There's been tons of stories, though, about this NXIVM trial. It's been going on forever.
Well, Lauren Saltzman said the reason she locked this woman in a room for 2 years is because Vanguard, this tool, Keith Raniere, who, you know, is like 55, and he looks like a, he's all doughy. He's dorky looking. Anyway, he promised they could have a child together and that the supervision of this Mexican woman would be good parental training. So she's like, oh, you'll have a child with me? I'll do any. Oh, yeah, I'll keep this woman locked in there for 2 years. And yeah, that will be good parenting. It's a good parenting experience. I'm in.
Wouldn't you at some point have some sort of a conscience about that with a person who's being kept a prisoner for two years?
But that's the control this guy had that is so impressive.
Did you mention?
Had to have drugged them. There had to be drugs.
Did you mention that the oral sex ceremony was going on when the feds busted him?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Whoa, they walked in on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they, well, he hid well, in a no, closet they, like the yeah, pussy that he is.
He hid in a changing closet, apparently. And the girl that actually didn't keep the... She tried to keep the cops at bay and eventually just busted in the door. And she said that she felt guilty for, you know, till recently because she let Vanguard get captured. And I think Vanguard was like... You blew it. You let those guys in. Well, they busted him. That's your fault.
Was he naked? And so he's caught and he was naked?
Yes.
I don't know. In the closet.
Yeah, he was.
Naked? Was he nude?
I think so.
Stupid hair.
Small wiener.
Do we have a boner line today, Brandon?
No.
No?
Sorry.
I'm
sorry.
Not so defeated.
How many calls do we have, by the way?
Oh, we have a lot. And I have a lot I'm putting together. We'll have one tomorrow if I can piece it together.
Are people calling every day?
Oh, God, yeah.
How many calls do you get a day?
I would say anywhere from 15 to 50. I know that sounds weird, but some days we get just 15, and then some days it's just hammered.
Maybe we should bring Righteous Rick back, because we had 100 calls one day on Righteous Rick.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
That was true.
209-66-BONER, anybody wants to call.
Yeah, and you can also text it. We get a lot of funny texts on there and some unfortunate pictures at times.
What? Like what?
There's a lot of buttholes.
What?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What?
See anyone's butthole?
Let's see. Here's one that came in. People the send text a, line. This came on text.
That was pretty powerful.
How it cracks them up.
Congratulations.
Yep.
play it again. I want to hear the laugh.
Well, find it again. Here it is. I think that was Mel.
One more time. I want you to laugh again.
It asks, it's inflected as a question as well.
Oh. Everybody's been taking pictures of their television whenever somebody does the
okay sign.
The white power sign.
So we're busting people?
Well, they're busting everybody from Kyle Schwarber with the Chicago Cubs.
Schwarbs!
To times Barack Obama has done it, to, I don't know.
Wow.
But we get a lot of texts. We do read every single one of them. Can't really respond to each one, but we try to respond to a ton of them. And then, people send us links. This is kind of another way to reach out to the show. So it's been a lot of fun, actually. What's this one? Oh, boy. Okay, people are sending drops.
Send us that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got an incredible text message. I'm going to have to go back and find it. But this is really something else involving Mr. Jimmy Irsay.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Do share.
Shoot, I can't get this thing to go back. I'll find it. But other items today. Natalie Portman is angry because we talked about the Moby book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his first book was interesting. I didn't realize he'd written a second book less than 3 years after the last one, but he has. And in the book, he's talking about, a lot of it's about what a jackass he was, how he just became this big-headed star and was just hammered all the time and taking a lot of drugs and just being sort of a doofus. And in among the stories, and, you know, some of it's about the amazing things that happen when you sell 10 million records and all these people are coming to your shows and, you know, you're this giant star.
Didn't want to watch Andy Dick take a dump on his vegan cake.
I know. That was really lame. I thought that would have fit in with everything he was describing.
Why not watch?
The ultimate in stardom, craziness, drugs, alcohol.
Rock and roll. It's not going to stop Andy. He was going to do it anyway.
And Andy's friends were there egging him on, laughing.
Part of an event.
Well, Charlize Theron was outside the room, was very disgusted by it, along with John Taylor from Duran Duran, who was pretending to be disgusted because he wanted to nail Charlize. But there was also the story about Natalie Portman, who, after a show, somebody says, Natalie Portman's outside waiting for you. And he's like, Natalie Portman? What? The movie star? Yeah, Natalie Portman. So he goes to meet her, and it's this really kind of friendly conversation that got a little flirty. And he said that he was going to be in New York the next week, because I think she lived in New York. And she said, oh, I'm going to be there too. Let's meet up. Mm-hmm. And Moby, who's getting around at the time, he's single, he's having fun. He's like, yeah, sure. So he says that they had a fling. They went out a few times. They had a fling. The weirdness of Natalie Portman, you know, this giant star who at the time, he said was 20. She says, no, I was 18. I had just graduated high school, but she's 18, so.
You hitting that?
No law's broken yet. Anyway, she ends up calling him after about a month and saying that I can't see you anymore. I met someone else. That's his side. She comes back and says she's very angry with the publisher. She feels the story was not vetted. There's no factual information. It's just going on a story that he told that was not true. That she was a fan. She had just graduated from high school. And that she wanted to be friends with Moby. It wasn't dating. In fact, she said he was a creepy older man who tried to overstep his bounds. I was a fan. I met him after a show. And he said, let's be friends. And then she said they hung out a few times till she figured out that she wasn't that fascinating a friend, apparently. Mm. Wanted to take it a little further, make her more fascinating.
Apparently, I believe her.
She thought she would be an absolutely fascinating friend, and that part didn't pan out. She just wasn't that fascinating.
You could have been distracted by her beauty. Maybe she was really fascinating.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of hers.
Really? Why?
Oh,
I don't know. I'm not sure why, honestly, because she's very good
like
in some movies. I can't say I'm nuts about her movies. I like a couple of them.
The Professional, Garden State.
I like Garden State. I like Garden State a lot.
Star Wars.
I know you didn't like Black Swan. Star Wars.
I hated Black Swan.
What's the one word?
Did you know he responded, Moby responded to her response?
Yeah, he says that, no, the whole story's true, and he will not be deleted from her team photo.
Mm-hmm.
He actually said that's a quote, to which I think he added that he wants to be reinstated middle row center in her team photo. Wouldn't that be funny if celebrities talk like that? Oh, yeah, I'm in her team photo. Are you kidding me? I nailed her.
I do like, I mean, there was some self-deprecation here because he's like, I completely respect Natalie's possible regret in dating me. To be fair, I would probably regret dating me too.
Yeah.
And then he put a picture of him and her from back in the day, you know, when they were dating. And of course, one of the comments on his Instagram is, dude, that's not the face of a girl who's dating the person she's standing with. It's the face of a young person who isn't sure how to say, please remove your arm. You're really reading into a picture, man.
That's what she said?
No, it's what a comment on his Instagram said.
Oh, I see.
I believe her.
Here's the pic.
Yeah.
I do, yeah.
I don't know why he would lie about that.
She was at peak hotness, too, man.
Another comment says, believe Natalie.
Okay.
Another one says, you're a shithead.
You look at that picture, and you can't imagine why the girl on the right would have any sexual interest in the man.
No, not at all.
Now, the man on the left,
she's
though,
beautiful. He looks like a penis.
If he did nail her, I would think he'd want 5,000 copies of her team photo with him circled. Because she's really hot there, and he looks stupid. First of all, he's not wearing a shirt. He looks like there's not a muscle on his body.
No.
And he's got his head shaved, and he's making a stupid face, too.
Yeah. Like a Coke smile.
You know, that's interesting, because I don't know why I believe him. Why do I believe him? He's extremely honest in his book.
Yeah.
And he does.
Maybe that's why.
He describes a lot of stupid things he did and a lot of mistakes he made. And he's turned the corner, and it seems like he's doing fine now, and he's just okay with being Moby and doing his shows for a couple thousand people. And
sounds like there's a hang-up in what's described as dating.
Yeah, no, she does not want to admit that she would be in his team photo or him in hers.
And he understands
that. Who else is in her team photo?
It
might make her team photo look...
I think she's trying to shrink.
I think she's got very bad choice in men, if I remember correctly.
Really?
Not Janelle Evans bad, but bad.
Let's see. She's married to, what, Benjamin Millipede?
Yeah. The hell is that?
Choreographer. From Black Swan.
Of course she is.
No, that fits so perfectly. Is he Harvard or Yale educated?
Yale.
Okay, let's see, Rodrigo Santoro. I don't know
who the hell's that.
Looks, he's a complete carbon copy of her current husband.
Wow, that looks like, that is weird. Doesn't it look like it's a progression of men? Like,
yeah, except that dork on the bottom right hand side.
A couple zeros.
Jude Law.
Yep, Jude Law.
Wait.
Who is Jude Law?
Nathan Bogle.
Who is that guy?
Fuck is Nathan Bogle?
No.
Forgive my compromised sense of humor, but I did want to answer our host question about who Jude Law is. He's one of our finest actors, and
that's that dork looking guy. That's Nathan Rothschild. That's like, you know, a billionaire.
Oh, well, that's why she likes him.
Oh, yeah.
From the Rothschild group, you know.
Sure.
Andy Samberg, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal's perfect.
Gail Bernhall. Moby is on there, but it says rumor at the top. Hayden Christensen, that dude that played Skywalker in Star Wars. And Lucas Haas, who to me is kind of the weirdest dude in Hollywood ever. You'd know him if you saw him, but he's never really done anything big. He's always, I don't know, he's the weirdest looking guy.
Drew, this Benjamin Millipede did not go to Yale or Harvard. Instead, between the ages of 13 and 16, he studied with Michael Rahn at Conservatoire National in Lyon, France.
Oh!
Which seems even more appropriate.
Yeah, she'd like
for,
even better.
For her.
Wait a minute. She was Black Swan, and he was her choreographer, and so they were
That's easy pickings.
I'd say that his hands all over her.
I want to add this story to Natalie Portman, because I thought it was weird and kind of crappy when I read it. She was very good friends with Jared...
His name is
Trump's son-in-law.
Oh, Kushner.
Jared Kushner, when she was at Harvard. And Jared Kushner, in fact, she attended his wedding to Ivanka Trump. And now she goes around saying what a horrible person he is. I think she describes him as a racist. And also that his father bought him into Harvard or something to that effect. And his grades weren't good.
A lot of people
she was say, at his
Ooh.
Wedding to Ivanka.
Well,
she went to school with him. She hung out with him. Why, you know,
Hillary was at Trump's wedding, and she said a lot of
That's
nasty
right.
things about him.
Well, I mean, doesn't it tell you something though? If he's as horrible as she would have you believe, why was she at his wedding? Was he?
Let's keep an
he
eye
just
on
became
him.
Horrible. Yeah, keep an eye on him.
Do you ever go to somebody's wedding who you really don't like?
No,
all that much.
No,
no,
no.
And
not
just
unless
don't go.
If I'm forced to through some connection. But
I don't want to go to weddings. People I do like.
I don't want to go to weddings.
Except for Brandon. Brandon's was great.
You gave me the hardest Yikes. Time.
I did not.
Leading up to that, you kept.
I was just a dig at you. Mm-hmm. I had a great time. There's some great.
No, I'm not going to any depressing shit like that. It's too sensitive.
You were on your television the entire time during my wedding. You were watching some
great games.
Jermaine,
that's
me.
One of the reasons I liked the wedding, because we were able to watch football.
Wasn't there a no-hitter?
Yeah, Scherzer pitched a no-hitter.
It was a big
LSU almost
day.
Lost, I think, to Eastern that day.
I'll never forget your wedding.
Ohio State and Indiana had a close matchup.
Did
that was a great time.
Anybody watched? Is anybody watching Chernobyl? Or
yes,
or
you, Trudy, I think of you the whole time.
Oh no, another episode I missed.
You just refuse to be as depressed as it makes you.
I got to show Drew a scene.
I know what it is. I know what it is. I know what it is. I was appalled.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Chernobyl is on HBO.
Which one? Tell me real quick.
Yeah.
If you are,
they can hear you in Russia.
If you are 30 and under, we do have people 30 and under listening to the podcast. In fact, about 20% of our audience is 25 to 34. That surprises me. But tell your friends. We need more younger listeners. Anyway, Chernobyl was the nuclear accident in the Soviet Union, which was like, ah, no big deal. It's no big deal. It's nothing.
A little fire.
Yeah, and it was nothing. It was a huge disaster. It killed, I think, 26 people at the time.
Directly, yeah.
Gruesomely.
Yeah, and birth defects out the ass from people who continue to live nearby.
What a mess.
Every time there's a storm over there and around that area, they're worried that it's going to kick up all the nuclear cesium off the bottom of the river
great.
That it all leached into. So they're still dealing with that.
Yeah, but they would have you believe that, it was nothing.
He's nothing.
A couple of people, they're going to die anyway.
The only
he had a heart attack. He was nervous.
The other thing I learned from it is what a piece of shit everything is over there. And the miner makes a joke about it, actually.
It's very gray.
They have to, so to set up the scene, what they have to do is they have to hire a group of coal miners to dig underneath the plant, Chernobyl.
Because it's melting down and they don't want it to get in the groundwater.
It's
going to
melt through the floor.
Yeah. Did they show the elephant foot?
What's that?
It's basically the...
spoiler alert.
All right, never mind.
No, what is it?
So basically, you're telling me this is the plot of Armageddon, where they have to hire out Bruce Willis to come and do something.
Yeah, only wait till you see Bruce Willis.
Oh, I know. Oh, and they also show this one guy who's dying of radiation poisoning. I don't want to die of radiation poisoning watching this.
Oof.
Seems very painful.
He's like one of the guys who was outside of the reactor after it blew up and was
the fireman.
Picked up a rock and was like, what's this, I wonder?
Oh, I saw that, yeah. And he's...
And now he's melting.
His hand is melting like 10 minutes later.
Yeah, very much so.
There's the miner. He's not very happy. There's the guy dying of radiation.
Okay, what's the scene set up? The
scene set up is that they dig. They're supposed to tunnel under, and they're going to pour a foundation underneath, basically build something so it doesn't leak through.
I see.
And the miners want... They refuse to wear masks because they're like, screw it, that's not going to help us. We know. And then they won't put...
You mean they know they're going to die?
They pretty much realize it. They're like, we've been breathing coal dust for years.
It's a tough gig.
Yeah.
To do that.
Hey, have some vodka.
I know the job isn't over.
It's a really good miniseries, though.
Scar's
the beginning of the end.
Why does he talk like that?
Because he's, another fun fact. Trudy, what do you think of the guy playing Gorbachev?
Oh, wow.
Hey, they got the stain right on
his
head.
They did. They totally got that.
He also
right.
really nailed his British accent.
Oh, yeah, well.
It was ludicrous.
Sorry to bother you, Deputy Minister, but...
Something's up with the miners.
It's the miners.
What? Look at him.
There's some dong for you.
I think I'd wear a shirt down there.
Well, how about his dong flapping around? His dong flapping.
Why are they nude?
They're all nude.
Why are they nude?
The worst nudity possibly ever. Because they wanted fans to cool it down because it's super hot, and they wouldn't give them fans because they said it'd blow dust around.
Are there any new chicks in that scene?
No, they're dude miners. Check out this dong.
Watch it. He just comes right out.
How about all these actors just hanging around nude?
This didn't have to be a total sausage fest. Shouldn't they have female miners by 1986?
Russia, man.
Not Russia. Look at him.
Hey. What is up with that guy?
He's in charge.
Chode City.
Chode City.
What?
You wouldn't give us fans. It's too hot for clothes. So we're digging the old way. This is where our fathers mined.
Wait, people used to mine nude?
We're still wearing the fucking hats.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Your dick not exposed.
What?
That's what I want.
You're not as protected. No.
You tell them that'll make a difference.
Ooh, good comeback.
No. Don't worry about
it. So let them be nude and get it on.
When this is over, will they be looked after?
Oh, hell no.
Come on, it's Russia.
I don't know.
Just say yes.
That means no.
Wow, that was the most dongs in HBO history, possibly.
I know.
Yeah, more than.
Still walking around.
More than Game of Thrones.
Hey, white guys.
I'm convinced that actor really needed a gig.
Couldn't you?
Look at his butt.
Hey, why
did you get the point across by just wearing your tidy whities?
Can you back up so
it's
I can...
how they mine their father's mind.
At the risk of sounding bisexual, I just want to see that chode again. That was really... That was a chubby little chode.
At the risk of sounding bisexual.
There's nothing wrong with being bisexual.
That means you love everyone.
That thing.
Oh, we'll pause in time.
Aww.
I think he fluffed. Is it possible this guy fluffed his chode? Look at the way it's not moving.
I see some.
It's not realistic.
I saw some possible fluffing in some other cases, but I don't think he fluffed.
Let's see. Let me see.
That isn't realistic. It's supposed to be realistic.
Look at that guy behind him. Jeez.
Yeah, oof.
Yikes.
Wow. Macro cam.
Just swinging side to side.
They have a new theme song next week.
Wiener.
Oh, he's uncirked too.
Wiener. Of course, it's Russia 86.
I apologize to uncirked Randy.
Whoever's in charge of penis continuity made sure of that.
He made a joke at the beginning of the segment with the miners, which I thought was funny because it described all of what I've been thinking about Russia and how they build stuff. And he goes, "What's big as a house is noisy and smoky and cuts an apple into six pieces. A machine built by Russia to cut an apple in six pieces." Because everything...
They even hated Russia.
Everything. They put plastic up in the hospital and they think that's enough.
That's all they had.
It's insane.
Look at this dude melting away from radiation poisoning.
Oh, boy.
All right, we got to start wrapping up here. Oh, yeah, so, is the Drew and Mike store open?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's not as much stuff anymore. The sale's over.
Okay.
There will be stuff coming soon.
Summer stuff.
There is going to be soon. Stuff soon.
Nice.
We're getting there eventually.
And Facebook's been flagging a little bit. I hope we got some more juice today with
Tim
Meadows. Yeah. Our Facebook. I think people get bored of Facebook after a while. It's like, 10 minutes of the show. Whatever.
I think it depends on when you catch them, too.
Well.
Doesn't it?
We have a habit of our Facebook. It crests, and then it goes down, and then it crests again because we start pushing it. And there's a lot of old faithfuls in there. A lot of comments. Yeah. So that's nice. But like us on Facebook. Our likes have stood still. The likes that stood still. What is worse in 2019 than your likes not going up? There's nothing worse. It makes me feel like a has-been! We've been stuck at 22,840-something for I don't know how long. Probably 2 weeks. Like us, damn it. There's at least 100,000 of you clowns who have not liked us on Facebook. Can't you just go there and just push the like button, please?
What's that like Tim Meadows said, basically, people who watched that movie at the very beginning 10 years ago? The Ladies' Man, they put their review in, and it hasn't changed over the years, and it's the same thing with likes. Go in and do it again.
Yeah, please.
I am nothing without my following.
Hit the outro, Brandon. Our donate bar, of course, is there. The Amazon.
I have no skills.
The Amazon portal is there. If you buy,
I am not work material.
Buy anything on Amazon, buy it through our portal, please. It would help.
I am worthless.
And let's see, there was another thing I needed to. Oh, I know. The girl with the heart and soul tattoo Ed Cooley, the coach of Providence.
Courtney.
Courts. Her dad calls her Courts. Courts' dad emailed this morning and said she was so bummed she didn't get her Twitter handle out there. Can you get her Twitter handle so we can tell people if they want to follow her on Twitter?
Yeah. I think it's just Courtney in her last name.
Yeah, let me find it.
It's at Courtney, CourtneyNey, and then it's Bueller, BUELLER.
Bueller?
Her name isn't
Bueller?
Yeah, that's her handle, at Courtney Bueller.
She couldn't have been nicer.
She retweeted the show.
She did.
Had a great time on my podcast debut. I'm at 2 hours and 8 minutes or so if you want to hear me talk about Ed Cooley and The Bachelor. Got 10 likes. That might be, besides the Ed Cooley one, might be your highest liked thing.
She's more than ready to comment on The Bachelor if we ever decide to talk about reality shows for 25 minutes or more, like a has-been show would. She was really cool, and her dad was cool, too.
Very nice.
Good for her. And tomorrow, Fran Belkin from Belkin Productions, and she'll be talking about her book about Belkin Productions and Cleveland rock and roll, really from the late 60s to about 2000, and it's a fun book. I don't know where I put it, by the way, Trudy. Oh, here it is. Take it home. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
He was gay.
No way, sister.
Who's that man? He's that man.
I'm
Cobra, you've got to tell me who's on the cover this month.
You'll have to wait like everyone else, Sandra.
There he is. He should be ashamed of himself.
What does he do?
He spends her money. That's what he does.
I heard he's gay.
I heard they both are.
I hate how they talk about you. Everybody thinks you're just a freeloader. They don't know about...
They can't know. They can't ever know. If my cover's blown, we're both dead.
Do you like the car? It's for you.
What's the occasion?
I can't believe you forgot again. It's our anniversary. We've been engaged for 15 years.
You know, I'd marry you tomorrow, baby. But it wouldn't be fair, not to you or to the free world. Well, look at you.
This is it. I can't believe it. After 15 years, we're finally going to consummate our love.
This is Stedman. It's the commissioner. What? Professor Haight? He's escaped? Damn. What? The French Riviera? Now? Yes, sir. I'm on my way. Damn him! Damn that Professor Haight!
He's escaped? Again? Can't they build a prison strong enough to hold him for at least one night?
He's diabolical! I must go.
Can it wait just 1 hour? I want it so bad. 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Believe me, when we finally make love, I'm gonna take my time. It's gonna take all night long. But right now, I'm gonna need some money.
How much?
Let's see. French Riviera. In the house. Wardrobe. Disguises. Special weapons. Laser glasses. Speedboat. Armored helicopter.
All I have on me is $1.3 million.
That'll have to do.
Oh, darling. What kind of life is this?
Oprah, darling. You have to be strong. There's more at stake than just you and me.
Here's something to read on the plane.
Thank you, darling.
How about a kiss?
Of course. Close your eyes.
Oh, Stedman.
Oh, Monsieur Stedman, it is lovely. What does the O stand for?
It stands for ooh la la.
Stedman, you promised to give me a massage.
No, it's my turn.
No.
I have an idea. Why don't the two of you massage each other? And you three can start on me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dionne Warwick.
Do you know the language is there?
Dionne, what is it?
I just had a vision. Oprah, someone you love is in danger.
Stedman! Faster. Stedman, I'm coming, baby.
Now the conclusion of...
Stedman!
I'm coming, baby.
Like this?
Slower. Bend over.
Stedman, what's going on?
Darling, are you all right?
Stedman, who was that woman?
That was Professor Haight, disguised as an ugly French lap dancer.
Ugly? She looked beautiful.
I suppose she might have been considered beautiful until you walked in the room.
Oh, Stedman, I've been dreaming of this moment. Come here.
Wild horses couldn't keep me away. Invisible robots!
Invisible robots?
Beep, 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 beep.
Look out! Darling, are you all right?
Oh, what happened?
The robot ducked.
Oh, it's a private room. Lock the door.
Of course. First, let me close the blinds. I think someone's calling me.
I didn't hear anything.
Hello?
Monsieur Stedman, this is the mayor of France.
It's the mayor of France.
It seems that Colonel Haight...
You mean Professor Haight.
Yes, Professor Haight is still alive and he's vowing to destroy you and all of France. There's not a moment to lose.
You got to give me 10 minutes alone with my fiancé. I'm begging you, man.
No, out of the question. Hurry, my yacht is outside.
Darling, I hate to ask, but...
How much do you need?
I'll bring you the change.
Nice of you to drop in, Stedman.
James Brolin. As always, your timing is perfect.
Please, call me Captain Laser.
Still battling Dr. Chaos? I bet Babs is worried sick.
Hey, how does Oprah let you out of the house without a costume?
I'm a secret agent.
Damn! You're good.
I'm the luckiest woman on Earth.
Stedman!